Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, July 20th. Kathy is out. I'll handle the news duties. We'll begin with this terrible story. At least 11 people, including children, died after a boat carrying tourists on a Missouri lake capsized and sank last night. Five people remain missing. Seven others were hospitalized after a Ride the Ducks boat sank on Table Rock Lake in Branson, Missouri. A spokeswoman said four adults and three children arrived at the hospital shortly after the incident. Two adults were in critical condition, and the others were treated for minor injuries. The stormy weather was believed to be the cause of the capsizing. Another duck boat on the lake was able to safely make it back to shore. The National Weather Agency had issued a severe thunderstorm warning for the Branson area Thursday evening. Winds reached speeds of over 60 miles per hour. There's video footage of it just before it happened, and yeah, you can see how intense the waves were. Really? It was really nasty conditions.
So the questions that come to mind are, did they launch knowing that the forecast included thunderstorms of this potential power? Did they get caught out while they were there? And I'm sure that's stuff that's going to be asked, in short order.
And also, were people wearing their life vests?
Yeah.
And there's an investigation, obviously, that is going to follow off this after this. An off-duty sheriff's deputy working security for the boat company helped rescue people after the accident. Dive teams from a number of law enforcement agencies were assisting in the effort, but the sheriff said the divers ended their search for the night. The National Transportation Safety Board said on Twitter that investigators will arrive on the scene this morning. Ride the Ducks in Branson said the company was assisting authorities with the rescue effort. This was the Branson's Tour's first accident in more than 40 years of operation, so it's been there for a long time. Duck boats have been involved in other deadly incidents in the past. Of course, in 2010, two people were killed in Philadelphia.
Yes.
They have also include other accidents in 2015 in Seattle, in which five college students were killed when a boat collided with a bus, and one in 1999 that left 13 people dead after the boat sank near Hot Springs, Arkansas. So Ride the Ducks, that's the same company that had the accident in the Delaware River here.
I wonder statistically how many fatalities are attributed to Ride the Duck boats as opposed to other sightseeing boats.
I don't hear stories of other sightseeing boats. You hear of accidents in the ocean from time to time.
Yeah.
But I really don't hear much in the way.
If
multiple people are killed, you're going to hear about it.
Sure. I loved the Ride the Duck boat here and the experience. The truth of the matter is that when you're in the Ride the Duck boat, you sit lower in the water.
Oh, very low.
Yeah. And that's one of the things. One of the big thrills was to drive off the road and go into the water. But yeah, you were sitting far lower.
And it also had that canopy over the
top
as well.
Yeah.
And if that goes under, I can see how people can get trapped very easily.
Yeah.
So, obviously, investigations will bring some more information over the next couple of days. Terry Phillips had just walked in the door to work when he heard the panicked cries of a woman saying two children were trapped inside an apartment just feet away. He and another Good Samaritan ran to the back of the alley, not knowing what to expect. And surveillance video captured the woman hysterically trying to get help from anyone nearby as two children, believed to be her grandchildren, were trapped in a second floor apartment that was on fire in the 6300 block of Rising Sun Avenue. The two men raced to the rear of the building, and they said that the kids were just saying they were scared. That's all they could say. Please catch me. We're scared. Phillips and another man managed to catch both kids, who were later rushed to an area hospital.
It's amazing.
The building's property owner says that there were two second floor apartments about the lower level stores, or above them, I should say. Sources believe the fire may have started when the children's grandmother was trying to make breakfast, but the blaze remains under investigation. Many are thankful that this didn't end worse. Phillips said that they wouldn't have made it if they tried to jump on their own. So it's a good thing those guys were there to catch them. The Cumberland County Prosecutor's Office released body cam footage of a 28-minute encounter with violent police that ended with the suspect being fatally shot. The incident took place on Saturday. It began when officers responded to a report of a suspicious man on Wood Street near Northwest Boulevard. Witnesses said the man, Rashawn Washington of Camden, appeared disoriented and refused to take instructions from police. Investigators said he told officers that he had an explosive device wrapped in a T-shirt that he was holding. The officers tried to get Washington to drop whatever he was holding, but Washington refused. He then began walking toward the officers, and it was after he begins to walk toward the officers that they started to fire their weapons. Officers also used canine and mace in their efforts to subdue Washington. He later died from his injuries. The Cumberland County Prosecutor's Office said the incident is under investigation. They ask anyone with information on the incident to contact them. And finally, the Airbus Beluga XL, a new plane built for transporting oversized cargo that's painted to look like a beluga whale, made its first flight yesterday, taking off from France's Toulouse Blagnac Airport. I don't...
Choc-toc-flock-bock.
I don't speak French.
You just ordered blood pie at a Klingon cafe.
And then returning. This is the coolest looking plane I've ever seen.
It is... It's great.
Marissa, look at this.
Oh, my gosh. It's legit a whale.
It looks like a beluga whale.
Oh, I want a stuffed animal of it.
I do, too. Yeah. It's oversized. If you've ever seen these, some of these oversized transport planes, it's got, like, this gigantic bubble on top. But the way that the cockpit and the fuselage is shaped, it looks like a beluga whale. So they painted a little face on the front of it. And it made me smile.
As a kid,
it made me happy.
I would have built this model in a second.
It's the most adorable plane I've ever seen.
I agree.
It's gorgeous.
The jet is the first of a small number that Airbus will use to fly large aircraft components between its manufacturing facilities in Europe, and is set to enter regular service next year. It gets its beluga look and name from the front, quote, forehead part. That's a large space above the cockpit and which hinges open. So that took off today. All right, sports this morning. Ball sacks are yummy. The Phils began the second half of their season, or they begin it tonight, as they open up a weekend homestand against the San Diego Padres. 95 games into the season, the Phils are in first place by a half game over the Atlanta Braves. Clayton Richard will start for the Padres, while Jake Arrieta is going to take the mound for the Phils. Game time is 7:05. Let's see, at the British Open... At
Carnoustie.
Thank you, Carnoustie, which is in Scotland. American Kevin Kisner is in the lead. He made a long eagle putt on the par 5 sixth and ran off three straight birdies on the back nine to finish with a 5-under 66. Tiger Woods shot even par 71 to finish the first round. Five strokes behind the tournament leader, and it is the fourth time that Tiger has opened a major at par or better in the 13 times that he's played. Going back to 2013, Kisner is set to tee off at just before 8 a.m. Eastern time. And the NFL, which is considering potential disciplinary measures for players protesting during the national anthem, has decided to hit pause on its new policy. The league and the NFL Players Association issued a joint statement yesterday that said no new rules relating to the anthem will be issued to or enforced for the next several weeks, while both sides continue to hold discussions to figure out how to move forward. The NFL and the NFLPA, through recent discussions, have been working on a resolution to the anthem issue. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we have come to a standstill agreement on the NFLPA's grievance and on the NFL's anthem policy. The policy, which was changed by the league in May, was challenged this month in a grievance by the players' union. Oh, and by the way, the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champions. And that's what I got for you. This morning.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
To wrap up the weekend. You love doing the news so much. Yeah. Many is the morning you turn to Kathy and you'll say, please, let me take it this morning. And Kathy fights.
Can I have it today?
Because I'm not doing enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow.
I'm not going to say anything.
It's okay. Yeah. What's that really good one I had the last week?
There was a winner.
Flag up the butt?
No. Flag up the butt? No, there was a misstated word.
I switched consonants in two words, and I forgot what it was, but it was weird. But flag up their ass.
Flag up his ass.
That one was
It looks like the Romanian flag, but I'm not sure.
That was just out of nowhere, man. All right, well, glad to have everyone on board today for a Friday morning. We have a good day in store for you. We're going to have guest-wise in the studio, David Koechner.
Love him.
Helium Comedy Club. Club tonight and tomorrow. And you know him from Anchorman, Champ Kind, his character, the sports.
So freaking good.
The Goldbergs. The Goldbergs. He's been in tons of stuff as well. But he's going to be stopping in this morning to talk about his gig at Helium. We'll talk about whatever he wants to talk about. So it's going to be cool. That'll be around 8 o'clock. Friends from Gottschall's Turkey Bacon will be here, and that means good things for you. Lots of giveaways in conjunction with that. We're giving away our Word of the Week prize. We have to recap our Belly Flop Championships last night.
Yeah, man. A lot of fun. In fact, if everything goes according to what we heard from Fox 29's Hank, who was out and did a belly flop and took a ton of video, that segment should be on the news this evening.
Yeah. So we're excited to bring the information about that to you. And I am also going to do a giveaway right off the bat here. Mission Impossible Fallout. We have a screening Monday at 7:30 at the UA King of Prussia. You need to be there no later than 7. Bill's out of town, right?
Bill is out. Yeah. Go for the number. Oh. He hates the... Go do it.
10.
Ah!
10 callers right now.
And Bill's reasoning, and we're not kidding when we say this, Bill thinks the number 10 sounds desperate.
Desperate is what he says.
What?
Meanwhile, I have 40 passes left to give away. So
that's fine.
Sometimes you just got
40's impressive.
You got to do 10. But 10.
10, it sounds desperate.
It's a little desperate.
Yeah.
It's just another one of those Bill things.
You got to love the Billism.
Soup and 10.
Soup and 10.
It's, and lists.
And lists going in order.
Worst thing possible, 10 bowls of soup.
Yep, going in order. All right. We'll take 10 callers, 215-263-WMMR. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we will regale you with wonderful stories from the world of Hollywood and more, and a stupid question when we return. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. All right, Kathy, sorry.
Force of habit.
It's a compliment.
Force habit. And by the way, somebody
pointed out. Oh, my God, I miss her.
Me too.
Somebody pointed out on the text messages, Kathy picked the 2 most beautiful days of the year to be gone.
Coincidence? Yeah. But Marissa's doing a phenomenal job.
Marissa would like to be out sick today, too.
I know. All right, so stupid question. We have a pair of tickets for Summerfest Live at Xfinity Live on Saturday. The question I have for you this morning, the Earth's core is composed mostly of what mineral? 215-263-WMMR. The Earth's core is composed mostly of what mineral?
Mm-hmm.
Call right now. Let's even know the answer. I have a lot of birthdays today, so I want to get right into them. Friday, July 20th. It is Stone Gossard's birthday today. Stone Gossard, guitarist for Pearl Jam, is turning 52 years of age today.
I mean, this is technically McCready playing right now, right? Is he the lead guy?
I mean, he's the lead guitar, but Stone and Eddie, if you look at their writing credits for
10 and Versus, it's all Gossard Vedder, Gossard Vedder.
So. Still my favorite.
Kidding.
Yeah. Favorite two albums.
Wow.
Pearl Jam.
52 years old today. We also have another amazing guitarist, and that would be Mr. Carlos Santana. Celebrating his 71st birthday today.
Who are we talking about Santana with recently, Preston? Who's a celebrity in here, who's a big fan.
Oh, the guy that had the big tattoo on his chest. It was a comedian that we had met for the first time, and he had Santana tattooed up his...
Yes, yes, you're exactly right. I forget the dude's
name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Amazing band, wonderful to listen to, and Carlos is a hell of a talent. So he's a tasty guitarist.
He's also a highlight of the movie Woodstock.
Yeah.
That performance.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Carlos Santana, 71 years old today. Gisele Bündchen, the Brazilian model, is 38.
I love you, Ta.
And Leo has been there, right?
Leo has been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's Tom Brady.
Yeah. So happy birthday to Gisele. Judy Greer. She's one of those girls. I know her. So in Ant-Man, she plays the ex-wife of Paul Rudd. She is also in 13 Going on 30. She's kind of the nemesis in that movie. She's in The Village. She's in Jurassic World, Arrested Development, a whole lot of things.
She's quirky, sexy.
Yeah, exactly. She's like really redhead. Cute.
She's actually in this movie from years ago called Cursed, about werewolves. It's a horrible movie, but she's very good in it.
She's 43 today. Josh Holloway, who played Sawyer on Lost.
Yes.
49 years old. A lot of those people had a hard time moving on to another show after that.
He moved into another series that did okay.
Was it Colony? Was that the one?
Yeah.
It's also Sandra Oh's birthday today. Sideways, Grey's Anatomy, recently nominated for an Emmy, and I believe first Asian actress to be nominated
for
Best Actress. She is 47 today, Sandra Oh. Frank Wally. He's another one of those guys that's been in everything,
man. Oh, I know that, dude.
Yeah. Field of Dreams, The Freshman, The Doors. He was in Pulp Fiction, right? Was he the big brain on Brett?
Yep. Yes, he was.
Yep. He's great. He's 55 today. The very beautiful Donna Dixon, wife of Dan Aykroyd, co-starred in Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks.
She was the reason I watched Bosom Buddies. I didn't know who knew Tom Hanks and those guys at that time. So, but I'm like, who is this?
Well, I just Spies Like Us. All right, not that great of a movie, but there's a scene in there where Chevy Chase grabs her boob.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, it didn't take much to get me.
Aroused.
Yeah.
Off.
And just seeing that. Because he just kind of grabs it and, I mean, squeezes
He's
it.
He's talking to her.
She's gorgeous. She's 61 today. Sixers, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is 22 years old today.
Just moved into a place with Kendall Jenner.
Really?
Yeah.
They moved in together.
Yeah. Okay. Remember they were in that... They were in sort of a lower rent house in L.A. And the TMZ found it immediately, so they moved to another place.
That's right. All right. Well, happy birthday to Ben Simmons. A woman I'm in love with, Julianne Hough.
Yes.
Mm. Is 30 years old today from Dancing with the Stars. And she did Grease Live. She played Sandy in that. She was great in that.
I have not taken that off my DVR.
Don't.
I leave it on. I really enjoyed that.
I follow her on Instagram and was just scrolling through my Instagram feed the other day, and I stopped on a video of her, and then we started a break, and I just left it playing over there, and you were like, what is that on your laptop?
Yeah.
Number one, she's beautiful, but when you add the dancing and the moves that she can do, it's over the top. And I actually did a little dip with her here in the studio. I have a picture of her and I together. Yeah, she was super cool, and she's dirty 30 today. So happy birthday to Julianne. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, Nick McElwain.
Hey!
McWayne.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
What number today?
43. Sort of a non-important birthday, 43. But Casey and I are the same age. Casey and I were born in the same year in the same hospital, 2 weeks apart.
Isn't that wild?
4th of July, 1975. And me, 20th of July, 1975, Riddle Memorial Hospital.
Oh, nice.
Two
of my kids were born at Riddle.
That's right.
Well, my doctor who delivered me was killed by Sylvia Secrest at the Springfield Mall.
Oh, the balloon.
So take that.
You can't tell that.
Yeah.
This is a remix, by the way, and they call glorified version of a
Pellet Cluck.
Anything special this evening? It's a Friday, man. Your birthday's on a Friday.
Oh, yeah. We got big plans. I'm going to the Mann Music Center. Going to see Star Wars live.
Yeah.
So they're doing that screening with the Philadelphia.
No, that's cool.
It is. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's dorky cool. But, yeah, the screening of the Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Orchestra playing the live music, John Williams music. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a gorgeous night out. Sit on the lawn and have some fun.
Excellent.
And I think I'm going to go see Piven tomorrow night, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right, we have another nice surprise for you. We called in a favor and had somebody sing you a happy birthday.
Go ahead.
Happy birthday to you.
Never gets old.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nick. Happy birthday to you.
Wow. Casey, was that from around the ukulele songs?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Eddie Vedder singing Happy Birthday.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's
give me right in the feels, man.
Yeah, that's a
happy birthday.
I can play this all morning long and never get tired of it. One more time. Here we go.
Happy birthday, happy birthday.
We're looking at the picture of you and the man,
yeah.
Eddie Vedder. And this is a great picture because Eddie Vedder has his arm around you and there is a legitimate warm smile on his face.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to, take it already.
Uh-huh. That needs to be cut out in a heart shape.
Yeah.
It really does.
I mean, it's my
sha-la-la-la. Yeah, exactly.
It's my profile photo on Twitter, and it will never not be my profile photo on Twitter.
All right, we need to get an answer to the stupid question. Oh my God, it's 10 to 7 already. The Earth's core is composed mostly of what mineral? That is the question for today. Let us go to Stephanie and ask her for the answer. Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi, is it iron?
It is iron. That is correct. Hang on a second.
And it's magma.
Iron. It's believed that 80% of the core is iron. And Stephanie, hang on, because we're going to give you a pair of tickets for Summerfest Live. That's at Xfinity Live this Saturday. Visit XfinityLive.com to learn more. And Marissa, are you doing an appearance at Xfinity Live today?
I am. 5 o'clock. This is going to be the first chance to qualify for those tickets to join us in London, England.
That is correct. And it is the Miller Lite. I have to have the official name here. Miller
London
Lite,
Calling.
London Calling with Green Legion and Preston and Steve. So today from 5 till 7, stop by and hang out with Marissa at Xfinity Live. You might be a finalist in our contest to go to London, so don't miss that opportunity. All right, I have a lot of things to get to. We're going to start with this. Former First Lady Michelle Obama is launching a new voter registration initiative in preparation for the 2018 midterm elections. The not-for-profit, nonpartisan When We All Vote campaign has recruited Hollywood heavy hitters like Tom Hanks, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and Janelle Monáe, basketballer Chris Paul, and country singers Faith Hill and Tim McGraw to spread the word. Tom Hanks says in a statement, it is up to each and every one of us to make sure that our government doesn't just represent a small sum, not just the most powerful, but all of us. When We All Vote happens to raise voter participation this November, or hopes to raise voter participation this November. In 2014, just 36.4% of the electorate vote during midterms.
Still,
and it was the lowest rate in 70 years.
Blows my mind. You know, an obvious name not on that list, Preston.
Hasselhoff.
The hell? I'm sorry. You don't like the way we do it here in America?
He hates
Get
democracy.
Out.
Yeah. It was not love at first sight when Cher and Dominic Cooper met on the set of Mamma Mia. Here we go again. He tells Vanity Fair, Cooper described the moment that he met the legendary crooner and what she said when she found out that he had dated other co-star Amanda Seyfried for 3 years. He said, she took one look at me and didn't trust me at all and told me so herself, which I laughed out loud at. And after Amanda made it clear that we used to, once upon a time, be together, Cher said to Seyfried, you dodged a bullet there.
You dodged a bullet, honey.
Cooper and Cher got tight over time, though, even grabbing dinner together months after shooting the sequel.
We're now the best of friends.
Seyfried recently admitted that her husband, Thomas Sadowski, was less than thrilled when he found out that she would be reuniting with her ex in that film.
It's got to be wild, as I pointed out, I think it was yesterday, that she's only a couple years older than Meryl Streep and she's playing her mother.
Yeah.
In a new video for PETA, animal rights activist and actress Natalie Portman compares consuming meat and animal cruelty to the inhumane acts committed during the Holocaust. Sort of. She throws a quote out there.
Yeah, you know what? This has actually been done a few times over history. And it never works out well, so you maybe want to write that comparison out of your speech.
Well, let me give you the context. Yeah. Portman calls out the life of Nobel laureate Isaac Bashevis Singer and shares some of his thoughts on animal rights. And decades ago, here's in the beginning of the video, she says, "Nowadays, many of us speak up for animals, but it wasn't always like that. Decades ago, one man articulated the plight of animals so boldly that the modern world couldn't ignore him." And she quoted from Singer's novel, which is called Shosha. She said, we do God's creatures. We do to God's creatures what the Nazis did to us. So this was said by this guy in his novel, and she was quoting.
Yeah. And a lot of people also had issue with the event itself, which was held at a pig roast, Preston.
No. She also quoted a passage from his novel, The Slaughterer, saying, "As long as people will shed the blood of innocent creatures, there can be no peace, no liberty, no harmony. Slaughter and justice cannot dwell together." PETA has previously been banned from comparing meat consumption to the Holocaust per the Times of Israel. In 2009, a German court ruled that a PETA campaign featuring images from a concentration camp next to images of turkeys and chickens headed for slaughter went a bit too far. By the way, in June, Natalie Portman helped produce a documentary based on the 2009 book called Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer.
Yeah.
Paris Jackson is collaborating with Reed Dunn and G.H. Bass and Company for their new twist on the Weijen's penny loafer.
What? What is this?
In the picture, well, they're shoes. The 20-year-old model poses on her back topless with a loafer, sometimes two, over her chest.
The old-style penny loafer.
Yeah. Jürgen Teller is photographing the campaign, which also features her 50-plus colorful tattoos. Jackson often poses topless on her Instagram. In 2017, she captioned a topless shot, noting that, quote, "being naked is part of what makes us human."
She just did a photo shoot where they actually blanked out all of the tattoos. They covered over them all on her body.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the tattoos more.
Okay.
Yeah. Did they do it digitally or with makeup?
I think they did it with makeup, Nick.
Okay.
By the way, her tattoo collection includes a colorful chakra down her chest and spoon tattoos that she got with her BFF and godfather, Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin's her godfather. I keep forgetting that.
The revamped penny loafers come in 16-plus styles, including print, crocodile, and studded. Saturday Night Live star Leslie Jones is done for a little while after a crazy week during which she lashed out at Jessica Alba and her Honest Company. We covered some of this yesterday. The 50-year-old tweeted that she was going to, quote, disappear for a while. She said, "This week has been effed up and emotional, angering, and just plain exhausting." Alba had apologized to Jones for the mix-up over the diaper cake order, but Jones has yet to publicly acknowledge it. Is this what was exhausting for her?
Maybe there's other stuff going on. By the way, it occurs to me, so this Jessica Alba product line is for babies and kids, right? So does she have a kid?
Jessica Alba?
Leslie Jones.
Oh,
I don't remember what. I think it might have. She may have ordered something for a friend, Steve.
Okay.
When you're single and you're buying baby gifts, you usually order them like 2 days out.
All right.
If you're like me.
Yeah.
So she probably rushed order and then didn't have it.
Yeah, I don't know the full story behind that.
I don't know if it's solely baby stuff.
All right.
By the way, a woman named Diane von Furstenberg.
Yes.
She is a designer. Rue the day that Viagra was invented.
I rue the day Viagra was invented.
She said the worst thing that has happened to women in the last 15 years is Viagra. She said for men, it used to be all about getting it up. Did I? Can I? There was a certain fairness. A woman couldn't have a child after 40, right? Though even that doesn't exist anymore. What are you talking about, woman? I don't get her point.
I think it's sort of a riff on SNL did a bit a while ago about, you know, when Viagra came out, about the, you know, at the retirement homes, about the guys are dancing, da, 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 and then they'll turn the women around they're dancing with, and they're like, Oh, Jesus.
Please.
Please give me a break.
Yeah, so she's come out and said that.
She's married to Barry Diller, Steve, who's worth $3.1 billion.
And she herself has a designer line.
And she's got royalty in her blood as well. She comes from some royal German line.
So she doesn't like when old Barry comes crawling into the bed.
Have you seen old Barry
Hill about an hour ago?
Hey, let's get down to that business. How do you know? No!
It's been 45 minutes.
It's like a BJ day.
Stephen Colbert's Politics Heavy Late Show had its largest ever spring audience this year, coming closer to upending Jimmy Fallon and The Tonight Show from its top slot in the all-important Under 50 demo. The Late Show has been tops in overall audience since Donald Trump took office 18 months ago, so he's having some serious success in the numbers. With 3 months to go before Lessons, My Path to a Meaningful Life hits bookshelves, the supermodel Gisele Bündchen,
which we're talking about her.
Yeah. Her birthday today, is giving fans a look at the cover on Instagram. On it, she's wearing her signature waves, minimal makeup, and a simple green jacket.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The 37-year-old captioned the shot saying, "The process of writing has been transformative and intense."
So who's worth more, Tom Brady or Gisele Bündchen?
Gisele. Right now it's Gisele, but they're projecting that Tom may pass her at some point because of his earning potential post-NFL career.
Okay.
I'm not wearing makeup. I'm just being me.
Mm-hmm.
You're still beautiful. Mm-hmm. Shut up.
Hey, the iconic home that served as the exterior of the TV's Brady Bunch is up for sale.
It still has the look.
But among those eyeing the property are developers who may consider tearing it down.
It's almost like a Brady Bunch episode.
The house is located at 1122 Dilling Street in Studio City, California. It's listed for $1.85 million.
And you know what, Preston? I bet you not a lot of that has to do with it being the Brady home. I bet you that's just the general real estate in that area.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Absolutely. The listing calls the property the second most photographed home in the United States after the White House. The residence is two bedrooms with three bathrooms and has two master suites. It boasts 2,477 square feet, so under 3,000 square feet for almost $2 million.
Now, we're looking at the picture of the iconic front of the house. They actually would use a fake window in the middle of that front wall there that you see.
Yeah.
You know, that window that your eyes always...
Yeah.
That was a fake window.
I need to see a picture of what it looked like.
Yeah, if you look at a picture of it from the series, they stuck a fake window there.
All right, see if you can find a picture of that house from the series. I want to see the comparison. By the way, the lot is approximately a third of an acre. Once again, almost $2 million.
I know.
For two bedrooms, under 3,000 square... Under 2,500 square feet and a third of an acre.
There you go.
The house is on sale for the first time in 45 years. It was bought by its current owners in 1973.
Jeez.
So they've held on to it for that long. Yeah, there you go, Steve. So they had put a prosthetic window up there.
Yeah.
Just to give it a little more of a homey look about it.
Do you ever look at the house and try to figure out how they tried to portray it in the house? Like, if you walked in, I haven't seen interior shots of the house.
So to the right of the house, or to the right of the front door, is Mike's office.
It should be Mike's office, right? And then, and on the other side of that, across from the kitchen, to the side of the kitchen, would be Alice's room and the laundry.
Steve,
and
I did see
stairs that went up, and it had an open staircase,
an open build. Yeah,
yeah. I saw architectural design drawings of what the house should look like on the inside, superimposed on what it actually looks like on the outside.
Is it anything like it?
Not really. But it is pretty cool to see where everybody's rooms are.
Because remember, they also had a little room off of the kitchen,
right?
Yes, that was kind of like what we would call a lounge
or a TV room,
something like that.
Their little den. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the living room, and then the dining room was attached right to that. And outside of that den, Preston, with the sliding doors where Marcia got hit in the face with
the football.
I mean, aside from...
Alice was in the dunk tank there, too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is probably a conversation for another time. But aside from...
Alice was a lesbian.
No, mansions. What TV house would you like to live in?
Okay.
We can talk about hold on to that.
Yeah.
Because I do have some ideas.
So the realtor, Jody Francisco, that's fun to say.
I am Jody Francisco. Would you like to live in the Brady Bunch home?
So
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Francisco. The home was used as the exteriors, of course, but the interiors were done in the soundstage, and Jody Francisco says...
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Is a realtor with Berkshire Hathaway, said they're developers for the lot size. They might tear it down, meaning the people that are interested, but the listing agent said the family was hoping to get someone to preserve the house at a 1.85. I don't know if a developer would pay that much, so it might be for somebody who's more interested in just keeping the place that it is and the iconic nature of it.
Fun fact, Preston, the sliding doors in the back never had glass in them. Never.
Really?
Yeah, so that when they were opening and closing the doors, the doors never had glass in them because they would have reflected the
cameras.
Lighting.
Yeah. All right, so two more quick things. The first trailer has been released for Titans, the forthcoming DC Universe superhero series.
It looks pretty good.
Does it?
Yeah.
Haven't seen it yet. DC Universe also revealed subscription details for its service. The Dark trailer offers a look at Dick Grayson, who's Robin, of course. He's played by Brenton Thwaites. Raven, Beast Boy, and Starfire. Are they going to have Cyborg? Cyborg's a member of the Titans as well. I wonder if he'll include him in there.
Well, you know, now he's Nightwing at this point, Dick Grayson. And I guess because it's on this pay service, Preston, they're allowing cursing because...
Yes, he drops the F-bomb in the trailer. The DC Universe streaming service is also targeting a fall launch with pre-orders for one year starting at $74.99. So it is a first for the DC Universe with the F-bomb being dropped in there. So we'll see. And also in DC lore, Joaquin Phoenix is set to star as the iconic baddie Joker in Warner Brothers and DC film Joker. Director Todd Phillips' film will land October 4th, 2019. The $55 million film is being sold as a, quote, exploration of a man disregarded by society that is not only a gritty character study, but also a broader cautionary tale.
So I'm not mad at this casting. Yeah. I think it's good casting, though. He'll be coming out in that movie, and then the next Suicide Squad will come out with the Joker being played by Jared Leto. So we'll see. You're going to have a couple of dueling Jokers on film.
If it's is this an origin story?
It's supposed to be an origin story.
Because Joaquin Phoenix, I thought they would go with somebody a little younger, you know what I mean, to do an origin story.
Maybe they'll give him short pants.
Okay, maybe that'll change it all. And actually, I have time to do a couple more things here real quick here. Jennifer Lopez gives Working Girl a humorous contemporary spin in a movie called Second Act. So Working Girl, that was Melanie Griffith, right?
Yeah, and Joan Cusack.
Yeah, and who else was in that?
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, but no, I'm thinking of somebody else. Sigourney Weaver. The trailer for the film dropped Thursday, and in it, J-Lo plays an ambitious woman, sidelined and pushing 40, who is ready to use her street smarts to get a second act.
I get it.
STX Entertainment is releasing the film November 21st. How many movies has Jennifer Lopez been in where she's, you know...
A working gal.
A working gal and works her way to the top of the corporate ladder.
Yeah. Or like the wedding planner.
Made in Manhattan.
Made in Manhattan. That's
Jenny from the Block. Don't be fooled by the rocks that she's got.
Yep.
I like Angel Eyes. Isn't that the one where she gets beat up by her ex-husband and she, like, learns how to...
No,
what's that one called?
Enough
of this ass.
Yeah. Hang on. They show her... I guess she works at a supermarket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
And she gets off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then one more quick story. Russell Brand and Paula Patton are joining Michael Caine and Matthew Good for a family adventure flick called Four Kids and It. Which is shooting
the clown?
Maybe
that's so cool. So it's like a holiday thing with Pennywise.
Yeah. Shooting is underway.
I really hope that Pennywise makes the Christmas celebration.
Shooting is underway in Ireland, by the way. Andy DeEmini is directing the feature, which follows four kids who are scandalized to learn.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Learn that their beach vacation is cover for a bonding trip with potential future step siblings.
Okay. Paula Patton is a knockout. That's Robin Thicke's ex. She's in that Warcraft movie. Did you see that Warcraft movie with her?
Nah, I saw it. Didn't it wasn't speaking to
me. She has like huge, like prosthetic fangs and everything coming up from her lower jaw, and she's still hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, they're working on that movie. Let's do a couple of clips. Drum roll, please. Thank you. It wasn't on?
It wasn't on.
Sorry. I'm scared.
Don't be a scare. In Equalizer 2, Robert McCall returns to his old ways of seeking out and punishing perpetrators when he learns that one of his longtime friends has been murdered. Here, director Antoine Fuqua discusses the evolution of Robert's character. Here it is.
He's a much more emotional character in this one, if you will. You know, he deals with his past, unfortunately, but it's exciting for us because it drives our story.
Equalizer 2 is in theaters now, by the way.
He's on a revenge mission, actually, Preston. So his cover is he's an Uber driver, apparently.
Yep.
But one of the his former colleagues from the first movie gets killed.
Okay.
And so who provided him sort of a sanctuary in the first movie, and he is upset.
Okay. I love that first movie, so I'm excited to see this one. Let's go to the next clip. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again goes deeper into the history of the girls' relationships. In this clip, Lily James, who portrays a young Meryl Streep, talks about her character, Donna. Here it is.
You snap back and you see a young Donna living her life and meeting these guys, and you basically begin to understand the relationships that she had with these three incredible men and how she ends up on the island.
You shut the up, huh?
She's the girl who played Cinderella.
Yeah. I like her.
Yeah, she's beautiful, obviously.
She's also a Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Or
is she?
Okay. Yeah.
Mamma Mia will, Here We Go Again, is in theaters now, by the way.
This was Cher.
And that is what I have for you in my entertainment report this morning. There you go, my friends. We have a lot going on today. Our buddy, David Koechner, is stopping by today. He's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and through the weekend. We have to recap our Belly Flop Championship, which took place last night and was the spectacle we hoped it would be. Thanks to everybody who came out. But we've got to reveal the results of that a little later on.
I would have to say that last night's event displaced more water out of that pool than any of our other belly flop challenges.
I agree.
Yeah.
I would absolutely, especially from our champion.
Our champion. Yeah.
So we'll give you the rundown of that in a little bit. And our friends from Gotchall's, Dougie Bangin, going to be here this morning. So we'll have a bunch of giveaways. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a moment. Make sure that you stay with us. We shall return shortly.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
We're going to have David Koechner stopping in this morning. We're going to be recapping the Belly Flop Championship that took place last night.
Yeah.
And a few other things as the morning goes on. But we have not gone through my junk drawer and cleaned it out in a while. And I've got a lot of things here. So I would like to sift through some stuff if you don't mind.
You know, there's some stinking commercial using this music now. And I keep thinking we're going to the junk drawer at home when it pops up.
I did clean out my actual junk drawer.
Did you?
At home the other day, yeah.
Many times a year do you actually clean that thing out?
Maybe twice.
Okay.
Maybe. That's
I get
it.
So frustrated with my junk drawer at home because I'm the only one who cleans it out. I put nothing in it. And so now...
Oh, so it's a community junk drawer. See, I have my own.
Okay.
Oh. Now, there are two other family junk drawers, and on rare occasions I'll go through and sift through that, but I have my own little drawer where I keep my stuff.
You slam your junk in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In either of your junk drawers, are there packets of soy sauce or duck sauce?
No.
No.
Okay.
I don't have a junk drawer.
There's nothing edible at all in my junk
found
drawer.
Found some in mine.
There's a surprise. Yeah.
And there we don't eat it. No one's ever been in the house. Who eats it?
That is a shock.
You have three junk drawers?
He's got a big family.
Three and a half.
I'm jealous.
There's five people in my house, man. Yeah.
Super jealous.
All right, listen. I want to get into this. Here's the first item in my junk drawer. Consecrated virgins.
Yes, love them.
Say they are disappointed by the Vatican's new guidance that literal virginity is not necessary to be a consecrated virgin. Now, I'm unschooled in the ways of Catholicism. Can anyone explain a consecrated virgin to me?
Case.
Any idea? You're probably the most religious of the lot.
And, yeah, but my school just burned down, so
you're used to dealing with that. Yeah, all the consecrated versions were lost in the fire.
Everything you learned was lost in the fire.
Yeah, lost in the fire.
A consecrated version, I assume, is a original factory version.
I'll tell you what.
Tire patch kits or anything.
Well, the Vatican document says the quote call to give witness to the church's virginal, spousal, and fruitful love for Christ is not reducible to the symbol of physical integrity.
There you go.
That clears it all up.
Thank you for dumbing it down.
Thus, to have kept her body in perfect continence, or to have practiced the virtue of chastity in an exemplary way, while of great importance with regard to the discernment, are not essential prerequisites the absence of which admittance to consecration is not possible.
May I explain?
Yes.
You can't be incontinent and be a virgin.
Ah, so.
That's what I'm getting from that.
Maybe peeing your
so
pants.
So if you laugh and a little bit of pee comes out, you're a slut.
Women who wish to be consecrated as virgins take part in a ceremony in which they dress in white and pledge themselves to Christ.
Okay.
And there are thought to be only around 5,000 in the entire world.
Well, then, yeah, then it's worth bending the rules a little bit.
So there's about 60 in Canada, 250 in the United States, and around 200 in Britain. Once they have joined the vocation, they wear wedding rings and cannot marry or engage in sexual relationships. They live secular lives in the community and must be self-supporting. It sounds like they're just...
They're nuns.
They're nuns, but they're not nuns. They are citizens, for lack of a better
word. We wanted all the restrictions without any of the perks.
Yeah.
Wait, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Come on!
Lay people is what they're called.
Lay people?
Lay people, yeah.
Doesn't sound like they're getting laid to me.
Yeah, exactly.
We're looking at a picture of a woman laying face down. So.
No, President, that's the maid who forgot her mop. She's licking the floor clean.
The U.S. Association of Consecrated Virgins, there's an association, issued a statement calling the document deeply disappointing and said the advice was shocking.
Well, if you were investing your time in doing something where you were turning over... You were being as disciplined as that, only to find out that, hey, don't worry about it. It's okay.
What? I know.
I can understand their ire.
The entire tradition of the church has firmly upheld that women must have received the gift of virginity, that is, both material and formal, physical and spiritual, in order to receive the consecration of virgins, it said.
I tell you what, you know, in case perhaps you can, I know you went to Catholic school, but... We growing up, our family, you know, we had friends who were nuns, you know, mm-hmm. and they were a blast. They were to hang out with. They were cool. They were fun. It's not that they weren't doing keg stands, but they were always jovial and up they had a sense of purpose.
Yeah,
and it was cool to hang around.
I'm friends with nuns now. Not necessarily.
Not that these are nuns, but I liken them to
right. But my my best friend's aunt is a nun.
Yeah.
So I have become friendly and friends with her.
Yeah.
And to like know a nun on a different level than, you know, just somebody that like taught at my school
right.
or worked at my school.
Yeah, on a more friendly basis.
Is kind of cool. And then also my brother-in-law's aunt. No, I'm sorry. My sister-in-law's aunt is a nun as well, so I see her. I don't know. I never had that relationship with a nun growing up. I was always kind of a scared of them.
Yes, well, that's when you go through the Catholic school system.
I remember
you're supposed to be
when
right.
When I was a kid, we had priests and nuns come over for dinner, and that was kind of weird. Like Sister Deborah came over, who was the principal of our school.
Well, my wife's uncles, the uncle who married us, Father Jim and Father Charlie, were I mean they were. Cool guys, but they were old school Irish priests.
I love in the Blues Brothers when Elwood gets Jake in the very beginning out, and he's like, "We got to go see the Penguin."
She's great too. That character actress.
I love this. Texas says consecrated virgin is like a certified pre-owned car.
Okay, that's an interesting analogy.
It's also a great band name. I think
I like it. Consecrated virgin. So there you go. You can get laid, and apparently you can still be a consecrated virgin, according to the Vatican now. So
there's a sort of a collective, whoo!
That is item number one in my junk drawer.
That was deep.
Let's find, we can go a little less deep.
How your drawer has been filling up.
New analysis from the University of Pittsburgh has found a link between alcohol and perceived physical attractiveness. In other words, beer goggles are real.
Well, why do they even waste funding?
Have they
for
been
stuff
in a bar
like
at 2 in the morning? I mean, there's your study.
Researchers looked at data from some 1,800 people collected from 16 previous studies, participants, and here's how they did it, which is stupid. They rated the attractiveness of people in photographs. About half were drinking and the other were sober. The intoxicated group gave modestly higher scores. The reason for this link is unknown. The study did not attempt to determine how alcohol affects the brain to make people appear more good looking, but there's a good chance the findings are related to human bonding.
Well, yeah. Also, isn't it that your ability, your judgment is diminished?
Your inhibition.
Yes.
Yeah, that whole thing. I know somebody whose beer goggles actually gave a guy a whole appendage that he didn't have. He had no idea that the dude only had one arm until the next morning. And
so a girl or a guy?
A girl. So, I mean, girls are allowed to help.
I remember this story. So she slept with the dude and didn't realize he was an amputee?
Yeah, had no idea that he had one arm. Yeah.
Yep.
But, like, beer goggles, they guys and girls have them, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
We just naturally more assume it's usually associated with a guy, right?
How do you think I got laid so many times?
Right.
The girl had beer goggles and thought I was good looking.
And was selling pencils and had a German Shepherd in dark life.
But previous research shows that humans prefer to be around attractive people. A pretty face stimulates our brain's reward center. Studies have
That's why people must run from us, Preston.
They've also found that alcohol helps people form connections with strangers. Psychologist Michael Sayet, the paper's senior author, specializes in substance abuse. He said that a newly discovered link might have evolved to facilitate socialization. It suggests yet another way in which we bond is to experience them in a more attractive fashion physically.
It's the equivalent of pinching your nose, right?
But here's the deal. Results might be more significant in future studies where live people are scored as opposed to static images. I don't think it's pinching your nose. At the time, when you're, because Steve, you've never been inebriated,
drunk,
so you don't know. No. It seems like a great idea.
Does it?
It's yeah. not.
You're
it's not.
Not a, you're not aware that you're saying
you're not lowering your standards according to your own brain at that time. It's like
so. What?
Oh, we're hitting it
what's
off.
What's yeah, more powerful?
This is great.
This is great.
What's enhanced more? Your gregarious nature or your lack of inhibition? Are they both tied?
I think they're both
inexorably
tied.
Together.
Yeah, I think they're both tied. You get a little more loose, a little bit more. extroverted than you might normally be, depending on the person. Some people will internalize and get depressed and be another way.
I've never finished my novel.
But the attractiveness thing. Now, I think at a certain age it stops, by the way.
Really? Oh,
okay. Beer goggles? Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Me personally, I'm like these don't work anymore.
Did you say your name's Marissa?
Yeah, so.
I need a new prescription.
No, you know what? I think maybe at a certain age they don't work anymore because at a certain age, you're like, whatever. You don't care anymore.
My time's limited on this earth. Let's do it.
That's what I mean. So
I just remember my first college hookup. It was one of those deals where...
Wait, beer goggles?
Yeah. And then I think it's safe to say we both had them. But it wasn't until Saturday morning, afternoon when I woke up and my friends were like, yo, dude.
That was a dude.
Yeah. It wasn't a dude, but they were like, what were you doing? I was like, what are you talking about? I had no idea what I was doing the night before. I had zero clue.
Wow. I'll tell you what, though. What cancels out the beer goggles is the moment of completion.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
There was no completion for me that night.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you ever woken up from a night of drinking and you've obviously you had sex but have no recollection of said sex?
No.
Okay.
No. Sure. I've never had that happen.
Yeah. You have?
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
You mean I got laid last
year? What is your first CSI bit of evidence?
A wet spot.
Yeah. I would have to assume, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's classy.
All right, that is.
Happy birthday to me.
Let's move on.
Hey, did I have sex with you last night?
People with type A blood are more likely to be bitten by ticks, a study has found. I have type A blood.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I had long said because I, up until just a couple of weeks or months ago, I'd never had a tick on me before ever.
And that's when you changed your blood type.
No, I'm just saying I had hypothesized in my own mind that maybe I was putting off a pheromone that that would repel ticks.
Repel them.
Yeah, because I was 42, almost 43 before I had ever had a tick on me.
Never been ticked.
Never been ticked.
The Drew Barrymore movie. Yeah.
Scientists in the Czech Republic have found that ticks may be influenced by the physiological or biochemical profile of an individual, such as their blood group. The lead researcher, Elena Zakovska.
I work in tick department.
Said that this means a blood group of an individual can be one of the factors that increase the risk or tick bite and the transmission of dangerous diseases and must not be underestimated.
My wife and I will go out, sit outside, and she will be savaged by mosquitoes and all sorts of flying insects, biting stuff, and nothing for me. Remember
what's your blood type?
I got rid of the blood. I found it was a hindrance. Okay. You know what? I don't remember, Casey, but it's certainly not A.
No.
The new study claimed that while ticks will avoid those with the blood group B, they gravitate towards those with the blood type A. The experiment saw a drop of blood of every blood type, which is AB, AB, or O, applied to a sterile layer of filter paper on a Petri dish. The distances between individual drops were the same, and apparently, I guess the ticks would head more towards the A blood.
So what did they set up, like a flight of blood?
Yeah, so it's a whole flight of blood for these ticks. They belly up to the bar,
right?
And they lay them all out on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Well, any A? Well, I don't know if you have it in there because I'm A negative, and I wasn't
just,
sure.
No, okay. it's
any
just
A
that,
blood.
That basic blood type.
Mm. Do you? What's your deal outside? Mosquito bites, things of that nature. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Are you a prime target?
Last night we were having dinner at an al fresco at a restaurant.
Ooh, I've never been there.
And, no, that's not the name. We were at Basta Pasta in Skip.
Oh, you love that place.
I love that place. Yeah. But me, only me.
Yeah.
These gnats were driving me crazy, and they weren't getting anybody else at the table. Now I don't know everybody's blood type, but and they're not blood seeking anyway. Gnats aren't. They were pissed off.
They want you to think that.
I guess so. But yeah, bugs usually come after me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm actually pretty good. I think when I go hiking, though, I always wear the sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see those suckers that always go. I guess we've learned that there's a gas emitted from your eyes, or there's something that attracts them to your eyes, and they're not smart enough to go around the glasses, so they'll bump on the glasses and then give up.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. But annoying little bastards.
Yep. So they say it, and ticks, by the way, this year is the worst yet, from what I understand.
Also, a newer, more resilient, virulent type of tick has been, or two or three have been
super
introduced.
Super tick, right?
Super tick, like super tick, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like a Japanese tick?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea. So anyhow, your blood type might have something to do with it. Not 100% sure. Let me go back into the junk drawer and see what else I Astronomers have discovered 12 more moons around Jupiter.
Wow.
Bringing the
I wish Kathy was here.
Bringing the total of known moons around our solar system's largest planet. Anybody have any idea how many moons they now have total on Jupiter, around Jupiter?
I think it's like 60 plus at this point.
Anybody else?
Mm. I'm going to go with, now if I am under but closest to, do I get to keep Jupiter?
You get both Showcase Showdown prizes.
42.
Casey?
I know it's over 12, and that's
yeah,
all
because they just discovered 12.
Yeah.
Math.
79.
What?
Nine.
Yeah, I had no idea.
79 moons around Jupiter. You know, like that perpetual hurricane, that perpetual storm on Jupiter is the size of Earth.
Yeah, and it's actually shrinking.
Yeah.
They're predicting when it will go away.
Now they can finally go outside.
Yeah. Saturn, the next largest planet, also has the next most known moons with 61.
Do we have the conversion of the radiation into audio that's
oh yeah, we had a piece of audio.
It's going back and forth
from Saturn
to this moon, and they don't know what it is.
Yeah, okay. See if you can find that.
I got it.
All right, let's hear it, please. You got to turn it up.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Dude, now you would not hear that in space because there's no sound in space, but this is effing wild.
Well, I would imagine these are some form of some form of radio waves or whatever that they've translated into sound.
Yeah.
Dude.
What is this?
This is a sort of a radio act or some sort of energy being pulsed back and forth from the moon, this moon of Jupiter,
Saturn to Saturn and back and forth.
So you can pull up latest news about, you know, signals from Saturn or something like that.
Right there below Kylie Jenner.
Sound from Saturn. It'll be right under Kylie Jenner. Casey, do me a favor. Speed that up. Let's hear what that sounds like faster.
Okay. It's going to take me a little bit.
Yeah, you got to turn on the channel and then...
Where are y'all going? What?
Oh, that sounds a lot like Nell.
It's Space Nell. So she was from outer space, and that's why she couldn't speak our language.
All right, here we go. It says, new observations from the Cassini spacecraft's final orbits of the planet Saturn reveal a surprisingly powerful and dynamic interaction of, these are plasma waves.
Plasma waves.
Moving from Saturn to its rings and its moon Enceladus.
That's a salad.
Okay. No, that's Encelada.
Oh.
Research shows that the waves travel on magnetic field lines connecting Saturn directly to Enceladus, and the field lines are like an electrical circuit between the two bodies.
So it's there's basically
energy flowing back and
forth. There's an energy connection between these two, and that's the sound. When it's converted to audio, that's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. Did you speed it up, Case?
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it.
It's more danceable this way, Preston. Is that cool?
You know what? It sounds like old science fiction movies sound effects.
Well, specifically from a series called The Outer Limits, the original Outer Limits.
Yeah.
They would use sounds that were like that all the time.
Try it again here. I sped it up even more.
Dude. Let me see if I can communicate with them, Preston.
All right, try to communicate.
No, yeah.
Let's see here. It says, the recording was captured 2 weeks before the mission ended, plunged into Saturn's atmosphere. Research converted the recording of the plasma waves into an audio file in the same way a radio translates electromagnetic waves into music. In other words, Cassini detected electromagnetic waves in the audio frequency range on the ground. We could amplify and play those signals through a speaker. The recording time was compressed from 16 minutes. Okay, all right.
Because of the time travel.
No. It was 28.5. It was 16 minutes long.
Oh.
And they compressed it to 28.5. So it would be much, much lower and slower sounding if you heard it in real time. So they sped it up as well.
So next month, you're going to be able to see Mars, Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn all in the night skies. And there's an event at the Franklin Institute on August 14th. They do this night skies observatory thing.
Oh, that's supposed to you've done it, right?
I have, yeah.
You've done it, Preston, as well, have you not?
No, I haven't been there for this.
Okay.
You went to Eastern or Cabrini
Eastern College.
Yeah, they have an observatory there as well. But on August 14th, they're doing that night skies thing at Franklin Institute, which is awesome. And you'll be able to see four planets at the same time.
I love it.
All right, so by the way, the astronomer said that the 12 newfound moons around Jupiter haven't been seen before because they're so tiny, with the biggest ones only measuring about 2 miles across. So these are
like asteroids.
Yeah, these are really, really small. But they've named them moons, I guess, because of their orbit.
Wait a second. They're a little willy-nilly with this size judgment. Wasn't Pluto reduced to a planet? I mean, a planetoid?
Planetoid, yeah, apparently. All right, back into the junk drawer. Flying has gotten more cramped lately, but the good news is that airline seats likely won't be getting much smaller.
This is good news for us, Preston, who are looking at a trip to London.
Yeah, the FAA reauthorization bill working its way through Congress requires the agency to set minimum seat width and pitch standards within a year. In a separate move, the Department of Transportation Inspector General has begun an audit to determine whether evacuations in today's more cramped airline cabins can still meet the 90-second standard for deplaning passengers in the case of an emergency.
90 seconds, my ass!
You kidding me?
90 seconds. 90 seconds if you're flying alone.
Yeah. That's if you've got...
Even then.
That's if you got Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, all the
90
all the sprinters in the world on board the plane.
The people out in 90 seconds are the pilot and co-pilot. You go outside and watch the fuselage burn.
A study from a consulting firm shows that in the U.S. domestic fleet, the average number of seats per aircraft has increased by nearly 8% over the past 15 years.
If they gave a dramatic reduction in airfare, would you fly in an aircraft that replicated like a subway car? With standing, holding on.
No. Well, they're working on that.
I know,
They're working on a standing version. You would still need restraints and forth to be strapped in. But if it was really cheap?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can at yeah, maybe.
See, I mean, I fly to Boston.
I fly an entire family. So yeah. On occasion, I have to pay for 5 airline tickets. It's bad enough to pay for 5 movie tickets.
Uh-huh.
When you have to fly, it's insanely expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I might consider that.
Have you guys ever taken Frontier Airlines?
Yes.
I have in the past, but it's been a long time.
So they do flights for like $29. And it's great if you just have like a backpack and if you're just going somewhere for the weekend because the seats are like hard plastic. You get charged for...
Maybe I haven't. I don't remember hard plastic seats.
Yeah, they're
lawn chairs, President, not even secured to the bulkhead.
Well, wow. You said Subway, and it reminded me of Subway seats, yeah. Like those plastic ones.
No cushions?
Nah, I mean, they're like a little cushiony, but they're mostly okay. Hard plastic. Like, you could wipe it down very easily. You get charged more for a carry-on than you do for a check bag. Hmm. It flies out of Trenton Airport, which is, like, amazing. It feels like a bus station. It just moves so quickly.
Interesting.
And nice.
Trenton has an airport?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's great. It's like $5 a day to park.
So I knew AC does, but and Lehigh, but I had no idea about the Trenton Airport.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
$24, you said?
They have sales all the time for like $29. I took it out to Colorado, went out to Denver for a weekend.
How much?
Had a backpack. It was like $29 each way.
For Colorado?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow. It's nice to be single, isn't it?
There's a listener in studio, Krista. She's flying to Qatar Airlines next week, or Qatar, however you pronounce it. And it's 12 and a half hours direct from Philly there. She's packing some Xanax. If it's, yeah. But, I mean, 12 and a half hours in a plane, that one I would not pay cheap. I want a little bit of comfort on that flight.
Sure.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
Not me. Absolutely. I want to stand the whole time.
There was a friend of mine's son uses an app, and I forgot the name of it, but it will locate non-direct flights, and it's a lot cheaper, and I've forgotten what the angle is on it. It's
called masochist.com.
Nah, I forgot what it was, but it saves you a lot of money, and I forgot. Anyway.
Are you cool, though, with...
Not me.
Years ago, yes, I would have done it when I was doing stand-up. I would do, you know, to save money, but... You know, with each stop and each change up, there's more of a likelihood of luggage being lost and all this crap, and it's annoying as hell.
Yeah. Oh, I had to do the run through the airport a couple of weeks ago. I was flying back from Lake Tahoe to Philly. We had to connect through O'Hare, which is a zoo in Chicago, and the flight getting out of Reno to Chicago was late, and so I had to do the old sprint through the airport. And unfortunately, I didn't have checked luggage. I only had carry-on, but it's a giant pain in the ass. Anytime I can avoid connecting flights, absolutely will.
Hmm. All right, let's do another story from the junk drawer, and then we got to move along. 40% of people say that their partner is the main cause of annoyances when it comes to TV viewing. While the next most popular answer of things that ruin TV was too many advertisements, and in a third, a ringing cell phone.
All right, so I don't have any annoyances. When my wife and I sit down, we pretty much agree on that deal. But otherwise, I watch my own TVs and she watches her own because I can't. She will fall asleep with the TV set on. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And then she'll use it a lot as background noise or as just a white noise. And that's not me either.
I was watching Handmaid's Tale the other day. Now, she's finished the series.
Right.
I'm still in the second season, episode 4 or whatever. And she started talking to me. And, you know, I mean, it was clear that I was engaged in the show. Mm-hmm. So much so. I mean,
shut up, woman.
She watches this show. And she completely unplugs from the rest of reality while she watches the show. So considering the fact that, you know, she likes to not be bothered while she's watching it.
What did you say to her? How did you broach the topic?
I don't say anything.
Those moons around Jupiter?
I pull a Steve Morrison where I pause. Yes, I don't growl. I pause the TV and I exhale. What? What?
That's the response?
That's the response.
Exhale.
What?
No, or I do it like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. I don't say, dude, I'm watching it.
I'm not watching Perfect Strangers. It's not Return to Meepos. I'm watching Handmaid's Tale.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, because the what ought to be like, should be telegraphing the you should know.
Isn't letting you have sex with me enough?
Other findings were 41% admitted that they had a falling out with someone after disagreeing about something to do with TV.
Do you and Rochelle come to loggerheads on TV?
Nah,
you guys really. Sort of see this. My wife and I are into the same stuff for the most part. Yeah. So we only
sit down to watch a couple of shows and that's it, or a movie. I'm mainly a movie watcher, and I punch in and out. I'll bounce around and find something, just kind of settle in on it.
She came in. I was watching, you know, a zombie thing the other day, an independent zombie film, and she, hey, sweetheart, kisses me on the head and just goes right through the room. She can't take it. She just freaks the F out.
20% admitted they ruin TV for their partner at home, and 48% say they actually prefer to watch TV alone to avoid it being ruined by others.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with that. Do you jump ahead on series, or are you good with...
No, if we're watching it together, that's... No, it's cheating.
Yeah.
If you jump out and catch an episode or two ahead of time. So, but anyhow, thank you. I had to clean up my junk drawer. Hang on a second. What is this?
Is this that app that you were referring to earlier?
Skip lagged?
Skip lagged. Yeah. Some people were texting that in.
That might be it. It says find the flights that the airlines don't want you to see. We're exposing loopholes in airfare pricing. That might be it.
That's it. Below gutter skank.
Gutter Skank.
Ooh, Gutter Skank.
Why didn't I remember that?
Oh, man. Yes, I'm interested in Gutter Skank.
Okay. Yeah, take a look at that. All right, anyhow, thank you for letting me clean out the junk. Yes. I had to get some stuff on. I actually have a lot more in there, and we'll clean it out another time. Or maybe I'll notice things.
Ooh.
You never know. All right, David Koechner's going to be here this morning. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We got to do the B-File, and we got to run down our Belly Flop Championship last night. We'll do that in just a second. Stay with us. We shall return shortly.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Honey Tiger. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Honey Tiger, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Let's do the B-File, and then we got to talk belly flop. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's begin with this dating tale. Police in Tennessee arrested a man who allegedly stole his date's car and then used it to pick up her god sister for another date at a drive-in movie theater. No
way. Man, oh man.
This all happened.
That's multitask.
In one shot, Kelton Griffin picked up his first date. And
that crazy old Kelton.
She allowed him to drive her car because she didn't know where he planned to take her. Well, he stopped at a local gas station, and when she went inside to buy some items, he sped off, leaving her stranded. She tried to call him, but he blocked her number. When she tried to reach out to him on social media,
at this point, you have to think the date's not going well.
She discovered that he had blocked all of his accounts as well.
Wow.
She then contacted her family to let them know what had happened, and then she received a text message from her own god sister, who told her that Griffin was on his way to pick her up to take her on a date. Once they arrived at a local drive-in theater, she texted her again and waited for the police to show up, and they arrested him.
I guess he thought she wouldn't tell her god sister.
Maybe, yeah. This is wild, and this is yet another plant injury story, two in 1 week. A Vermont woman who received the equivalent of second-degree chemical burns on her legs after falling into a wild parsnip plant is warning others about the dangers of this seemingly harmless herbage.
This is the second burning plant story you had in about a week.
If you see the pictures of these blisters.
Is it better than is it worse than the first plant?
It's about the blisters on her legs, Steve, are about about the size of a tennis ball. It's unbelievable.
From parsnips, did you say?
From wild parsnips, which are a little different. Charlotte Murphy was traveling across the southern part of the state for her internship. When she stopped on the side of a road, she lost her footing and she fell into the plant, breaking it, causing the oil from the wild parsnip plant to come into contact with her bare legs. Unfazed, it didn't hurt her at the time. She went about her day and she spent some time in the hot sun. Little did she know this would only make her condition worse. 2 days later, she noticed small red bumps begin to appear in the same area where the plant came into contact with her skin, but no itch or pain. She didn't think anything of it. She said she was well aware of the dangers of the wild parsnip plant, or as the Wisconsin Natural Resource Magazine calls it, the hobo brother of the cultivated parsnip.
Okay.
According to the magazine, wild parsnip contains chemicals in the juices of its green leaves, stems, and fruits that actually cause intense localized burns, actually a sunburn. When the chemicals from the wild parsnip plant are absorbed into the skin, it can make that person more sensitive to ultraviolet light from the sun. It destroys cells and skin tissue.
So you're...
Though the reaction takes time to produce visible damage.
You're telling me this hardball-sized thing we're seeing on her leg is full of, like, pus?
Yeah. It's a blister. It's got liquid
Jesus.
In it.
Jesus.
Unfortunately, she said, I scratched it a lot in my sleep and woke up with blisters on my leg. The next morning, there was a start of a really big blister, and my leg was so swollen I couldn't walk. She was in a lot of pain. That evening, she returned home and showed her parents the blisters. At that point, they all realized it was something really bad. So I was in a state of panic.
Does this look
of how the blisters grew so much in one day.
Do these large baseball-sized blisters on my leg, do they look weird?
Murphy's parents rushed her to an urgent care clinic. They were unable to drain the big blister on her lower left leg, so they bandaged her legs and gave her antibiotics. She returned to the clinic over the next couple of days. Later, they took her to the University of Vermont's Trauma and Burn Center, which helped treat the wounds. She's expected to make a full recovery, though she will likely have scarring on parts of her legs. And we'll have to be wary of how much time she spends in the sun in the future.
All right, Marissa, you get off on popping zits and stuff like that. Would you be into a pus-filled blister of that size?
No way. Okay. I like the little one. Like, I'm walking by somebody, or I'm talking to them, and I just, like, see, like, a little one on their nose. Like, I can't.
You'll pop that sucker.
This is repulsive.
That's just disgusting.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
Well, the men thought they were going to a South Miami-Dade house for a casual and clandestine tryst with a bored housewife. Once there, the men agreed to be blindfolded and for sex acts to be performed on them. Now, what the victims did not know, federal agents say, is that the supposed housewife was a cross-dressing man named Brian Denemoister, and he was uploading videos to a porn website and charging users to view them.
At any point, did he say he had to go get the gimp?
No. Federal agents late Tuesday arrested Denemoister and charged him with 5 charges related to the operation of Straight Boys, which promised gay men videos of real straight men being conned into accepting sex acts, all while blindfolded or wearing blacked out goggles. So it was legit. I mean,
it's pretty ingenious.
Sometimes you'll see videos that claim to be something and they're clearly not. They're acted out. But this was legitimate.
I don't know what that guy's watching in the other room, but it seems great.
Investigators believe Denemoister ran the site for at least 4 years.
All the same scenarios?
It featured at least 600 videos. Although the website is no longer in operation, many of the videos are still viewable on other adult websites. Agents are still trying to figure out how many of the people depicted on the site may be victims.
Wow.
Never knowing their rendezvous was being recorded and uploaded to the web. Agents believe that Denemoister posed as a real heterosexual female and posted ads on Craigslist seeking flings at her house near the Homestead Reserve Air Base. And when the men would ask for assurances that there are no cameras, he assured them that, quote, she was married to someone in the Army and she would never photograph or video them. In actuality, however, he is in the video and he was a video and audio taping the entire sexual encounter.
Why don't you boys just sit here? I'll go get some lemonade.
Denemoister was charged with 2 counts of illegal interception of oral communication and 3 counts of record-keeping violations. So
it's the accounting. They always get him on the accounting.
Right, exactly. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file this morning. I have some other great stories.
That's pretty good.
We're going to get to a little bit later on. But in the meantime, we have to talk about last night's belly flop championship that took place at Valley Beach Poolside at Valley Forge Casino Resort. It was fantastic.
Home run.
The weather was perfect.
Out of the gate, that was such a difference because there was no humidity. It was just gorgeous.
The crowd was great, and our belly floppers were the best that we've had yet, I think.
Yeah. Great presentations, refined. Also, the things that they had written for you to announce as they came up were all very inventive. I would say, and Casey, you're the most austere when it comes to judging the actual flopping technique. I think we had more solid flopping last night than we've ever had.
I mean, right off the bat, I gave the Nutty Irishman a 10.
Yeah,
yes, right off of the bat.
First belly flop.
The very first belly flop, I got a 10 from Casey. I couldn't believe it. And I'll just say this now. Our champion, we need to go ahead and name it. We can run down what happened last night. Ended up being the Nutty Irishman.
Yeah,
he won the whole thing in a flop off that we had. We had a tie at the end.
We have, so, yeah, two
so
ties.
So we go through all of our contestants at the end, all of our contestants, and we have three finalists, and then the three finalists go again in a flop-off, and two of those guys tied, and so we had to have a second flop-off, and in the very, very end, and that was between Leather Larry, who is a 2016 champion who originally went by Sheriff Jorts in 2016, yeah. But he was Leather Larry this time, yep. Faced off against a Naughty Irishman. And the guy who I thought was going to take it all was our initial winner in the preliminary round, this guy, Yam the Working Man, who's a professional wrestler, by the way.
Dude knows how to work the crowd, obviously.
He did amazing. The crowd was all over him. But in his final flop, his knees kind of hit the water first before the belly, the judges took points off for that.
Yam actually had, I thought, the best flop of the entire night, which was his first flop in the preliminary rounds. But unfortunately, that doesn't mean anything when you get to the finals.
What to me, and we can, and you, the crowd was sort of all in unison. We all understood that. You know, when the knees hit before the belly, it's not good.
Yeah, right. Or the hands. Come down too. Yeah.
What you need, and as we describe, Preston, it's almost as if you're skydiving, or if you ever do high fly. So that sort of, you know, arms and legs back and the belly, just you hear a crack as it hits the water.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a number of those last night.
I was impressed by Leather Larry's outfit and guitar and hair and tight leather pants showing off his package. Uh-huh. And we made mention of that several times. What I didn't realize was that Leather Larry's mom was in attendance last night. And I met her on the way out. So
she must be so proud.
Apologies for talking about your son's unit so
much. And I had found out that Leather Larry's dad is a big fan of the show as well. And cool. Apparently we call him Heart Attack Steve because he was on the phone with us and having a heart attack at the same time. This is years ago.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I was like, oh, well, I don't recall that
you
at
you
all.
You think we would remember Heart Attack Steve. It's good to hear he's doing okay.
Well, I know for me as a judge, the preliminary rounds with the first 9 or 10 guys, I do take into consideration the presentation, you know, the outfit and you know, getting the crowd into it and all that sort of stuff.
That's 30. What that's of the 10 points you save, how many points for
it's
70, style?
70% flop, 30% style, and then in the final rounds, it's 100% flop.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's all right, you've already wowed me in the beginning with, you know, your costumes and your dances or whatever. And then when we get down to the nitty gritty, best flop wins.
The Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of water that was displaced out of that pool.
It
looked like that tsunami footage.
Yeah, yeah. It was big.
It was just unbelievable. We originally had last year, we had had the DJ set up down next to the pool. That would have been a disaster this year. There would have been an electrocution death.
By the way, thanks to Pancake for being our DJ. He did a great job. I thought the one that had the biggest potential to win it, me personally, but he came up short, was Sexy Chewbacca.
Mine too.
He looked awesome.
Yeah.
He brought out an interpreter because he spoke only in Wookiee.
Yeah.
And so the interpreter, I asked the questions, and he would, you know, do that. And the interpreter had told us what he was saying in English.
And his riff on the $20 is $20.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 10 credits is 10 credits.
It was absolutely fantastic. And our old friend Carnage did a great job as well. We had the Hebrew Hammer, which is last year's champion. He came out and did the first ceremonial flop. He just wanted to be a part of it. But he was loud all night long.
He got into it with Santa.
With Santa Claus.
It was a battle of the religions.
He had issue with Santa, and they went at it for a moment. But they ended up hugging it out later on, which was great.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I was just watching from the back, and those guys were into it. They were like keeping score back there and watching out for each other. But the Hebrew Hammer, he kept raising up his arms, and he was wearing one of those Borat bathing suits.
Yeah.
So his ass just kept creeping out.
Oh, dude, I saw so much hairy man ass.
There was a lot of man ass last night. Yeah, keep that in mind. When you come to this event, you see a lot of hairy man ass.
Yeah. If that's not your thing,
you may not want to go to it. But we had a blast, I also want to thank a few people, the EMTs that were there, just in case we had an issue, the Lafayette Ambulance and Rescue Squad. That was Toby
and Tara
that were there. And also, listen, we want to wish a speedy recovery. Our lifeguard, listener Rachel, she's okay. She wasn't hurt, but she was in a car accident on the way there. And I don't know if she even got... I said speedy recovery. I just was a car accident.
Well, it's always good to recover from things.
Yes, exactly. So she couldn't make it, and our EMT stepped in to cover, as well as Casey Bryan from Course Photography.
Yeah.
Marissa has already started to post pictures. Bryan takes great shots. We'll have awesome video coming. Kyle in our video department was there last night. We had GoPros in the pool on the edge. Some people jumped in with GoPros and stuff. And Hank from Fox 29 covered it. He did it. He was good.
Hank Flynn from Hank from Fox 29. He did a great job, Preston, and he actually had, I think, one of the best speeches up on the platform.
And his speech was all about how he was not prepared for the level of
competitiveness.
Of competition and presentation.
Yep.
That was shown there.
Sometimes there are misfires, and I liked the attempt by Angry Mike. But the idea of walking around the entire pool, which took about 10 minutes, was probably not the best idea.
That hurt him, and I think Casey even said that.
Yeah.
He did an Eagles chant, he pandered the crowd a little, and but then he decided to try to walk around the entire pool and get everybody into it. Well, everybody wasn't really into it at that point.
By the time he came back around, we were all angry.
Yeah, exactly.
And at that point, he was simply miffed.
You guys want to talk to the champion? It was his second year in the Belly Flop Championships, and he was facing off against a champion who actually was his third year, I guess. Well, because in 2016, he faced off against Leather Larry, who was Sheriff Jorts back in 2016, but he ended up winning it. This is the Nutty Irishman. Our champion. How you doing, my man?
Oh, I'm hurting. I got a red belly today.
I'm sure about
it. Dude, when you came out the first of the first belly flop, there were welts on your stomach. And that's the mark of a champion.
I had the pasties that said Happy St. Pat's Day.
Yeah.
And my buddy pointed out that I hit it so hard you could still see the outline of the pasties in my chest.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
And then I got to say, I was honored to get the first ever 10 from Casey Boyd.
Yes, absolutely.
And you deserved it, man. You absolutely deserved it. And last year, I remember you made it to the finals and your flop was... You went in knees first, and I in my mind, I'm cheering for people, and in this particular one, Yam the Working Man, I thought he was going to take it all, and his flop just didn't cut the mustard, and you were able to come in and capitalize on that.
Well, Jordan and I, or Larry and I, were looking at each other, we're like, because we know we tied again. And I'm like, are you serious? We got to go again?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's unless he beats us. He's going to do it in knees first. We're like, let's do it again. Come on.
Yeah.
And then I remember in 2016, he's so skinny. He got up so high in the air. All you heard was the slap, and I knew I lost.
Yeah. But you got some air this time around, and you had learned from your previous attempt, and you told me about that last night. What did you change?
Yeah.
This year.
So when I went heads up against him in 16, I kept the kilt on. And a wet kilt apparently is a heavy kilt.
Yeah, a wet kilt is a heavy kilt. Any Scotsman can tell you that. you corrected. Casey was massively impressed that you did the jump with socks on, which could have been a liability.
Well, the first one helped because it was the platform was still dry, going first. And then, so I saw it was wet, and I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a try again. I don't want to take too much of the costume if I still need some Irish stuff on, so I was, screw it. I'm going to keep the socks on, and it was all right. It really wasn't too bad.
You also reduced you usually have 5 or 6 drummers and bagpipers. And,
unfortunately, a lot of them were on vacation, but,
I think it worked though.
It did. Less is more, apparently.
Yes.
So.
The crowd still loved it.
Yeah. So. One piper and one drummer, and it got the job done, man.
Yeah. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, well, you now are the champion, and you know what? We're very proud of you, and not unlike the Hebrew Hammer, you'll have to come back next year and at least hang out with us. So,
absolutely. If I'm on injury reserve, I would love to be a guest judge next year.
Absolutely,
quite possible, because I think Charles might be ready to come back and try it again.
Yeah.
And he was a judge last night, which, by the way, I want to thank our judges. Yeah, we had Charles, who was sassy.
Yeah.
But he's on the injured reserve list, and he couldn't do the flop. We had Brent Porsche, who has a history of lifeguarding and swimming.
And diving, actually. Apparently, he was the first ever diver at Springfield High School.
No way. Really? Mm-hmm. And a wrestling aficionado. Yeah. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife of the perfect judge.
And Casey, and we had our cover girl from the Totally Elvis calendar, Juliette Valdez, who was there. And she was blown away by it.
And traumatized, too.
Yes, I agree.
And she looks great.
Yeah, she was a sweetheart. Her and her boyfriend came up afterwards. They congratulated me. And
got so many pictures taken with a lot of people. It was really a good time.
Nice. I just want to give Brent some props because he did the overnight last night, and then he had to be here for a meeting yesterday morning, and then he came to Belly Flop last night, and then he did the overnight again.
Wow.
So long day for Brent, so thanks for being a part of it.
Nick, throughout the whole thing, his hair looked incredibly beautiful. It was just stunning. He must use a lot of conditioner.
All right, so Nutty Irishman. And by the way, what is your real name? Tell everyone.
Mark Kaiser.
All right, Mark, congratulations, my man. You are the champion, sir.
Staggering.
Thank you, guys.
Live it up this weekend.
What an athlete.
So much fun. You've got to come next year. And, God, if we could get weather like that every year, it makes it so much more pleasant.
And this evening, the word is Hank. We'll have a segment on Fox 29 on the news about the Belly Flop competition, so check it out.
Yep, you can get a look at it and make your plans for next season. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Case, let me give away some more of those movie screening passes we have for Mission Impossible Fallout. It's on Monday at the UA King of Prussia. You'll need to be there no later than 7 o'clock. So let's take, let's do 10 again.
Ooh.
Piss Bill off. He's not in town. 10 callers, 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back in just a moment. David Koechner will be in our studio. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you very much. Kathy, our next guest.
Kathy, you said it again.
God damn it.
You are just, she's invisible to you.
No, I'm in a mode here.
I know.
I've got work to do.
But there's clearly something there.
It's just
hovering. It's right below the surface.
I'm thinking about our guests.
Okay.
And that's where my mind is headed to. So thank you, Marissa.
You're very welcome,
for doing the traffic this morning. You got it. These next two guys are going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club. They will be there tonight and tomorrow night, 7:30 and 10 p.m. show. We welcome back our friend David Koechner.
Yeah!
And we also would like to welcome Rob Mayer to our
Thank you,
gentlemen.
We were told that Kathy would be here. Very upsetting.
So I still think she is. So, you know.
And you can maintain the delusion Preston is.
Fair enough.
Kind of hogs the show.
Yeah. I'm a bigger fan of you guys than she is.
Oh, I like you, Marie.
All right. Classic Marissa.
So, David, back in Philadelphia, you've been here a few times.
Yyeah.
And,
it's always dangerous here.
Is it dangerous to you particularly?
The station.
How so?
Last time it was the BB gun.
That's right. You're here for crack shot.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, now there's a construction all over the place. You could die at any second from a head wound from falling.
There you go. At any second. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
We're all wearing our hard hats right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's good to have you back. You know, we also feel, because of the Goldbergs, you're an adopted Philadelphian anyway.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you about the spinoff series, which is it going to be named School, do you know?
I think so.
Are you any part of that?
I'm not sure. I know I'm doing a bunch of Goldbergs this fall.
Okay.
And there's talk of maybe me going to do that one, too, because the gal that plays my daughter is on
Lainey.
That one.
Yes. And she's, so she's a continuing character.
But
you should be.
But they're 10 years apart.
Because
I think School's set in the 90s.
Yes.
And the other one's set in the 80s. So I don't know.
You can play 90s.
Okay, thank you.
it's for us here, you know, and now we've sort of, you know, obviously struck up a bit of a friendship, though never having met Adam in person. With Cullen and Brian Callen and Tim Meadows has been. Tim Meadows, by the way, I think we told you this, had no idea the series took place in Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh.
He's here. We told him it was a revelation.
In our studio, and we told him, he's like, I didn't know it took place. And it was around here.
He thought it was on Netflix.
He walked by Wawa because there's one right near Helium, and then I think it all started too. Her in his head, too.
All together. Yeah. So that it'd be great if that's the case. I mean,
My character Bill Lewis is a Dallas fan.
Yes,
which is a bone of contention.
Yeah, but you've shown you're now friends. You've worked out your friendship. Yeah. You put those issues behind you. Some of the funniest episodes. We were playing clips of you, especially the exchange with you and Barry. And the father at the door when they're cacaing in your face.
It was
just great because obviously here with the Super Bowl victory, it was high on everybody's mind.
That's funny.
Are you in fact a Dallas fan?
No, of course not.
Chiefs fan. Okay,
let me ask you, because obviously you hate probably like the Raiders and all the other teams in your division, but
Do you have a special disdain for Dallas as well?
I think most Americans do.
Yeah. You know, and yet, though everyone tries to push this America's team nonsense on you. In fact, you even say it in the, it's a line in the Goldberg.
Yeah.
The only reason I liked Dallas, if any reason growing up, was because of the cheerleaders. And that was it.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
That's fair. See, I'm a Redskins fan, so I obviously hate the Cowboys. But and no one really hates the Redskins now because we're so bad. It's hard to hate us. It's just like you feel sorry for us, basically.
Yeah, you almost want to. It's a more paternal thing. You and we were that way. Listen.
Yeah.
No one knew. Yep. Even the most adept prognosticator thought we were looking at a good year last year, but not a Super Bowl.
Nine and seven, maybe.
Yeah. 8-8. 9-7 at best. Because, you know, you listen to what the quote unquote experts say on TV and radio, and everybody said, well, 9-7, 8-8.
Plus, then when Wentz went down, it was like, well, that's over.
That's over. Yeah.
It was a beautiful thing, though, for Foles to step in, and that was beautiful.
Go ahead.
I was at a wedding right after Christmas with all of my friends from high school, and my buddy Vinny, he's just so funny because this is obviously Foles had gone down, and we're just sitting there, like, right by the dance floor. I'm sorry. And Foles, our quarterback, and he just puts his hand on my shoulder. And, like, sincerely, he goes, we're never going to win it, man, are we? And he was just so deflated. He's like,
we're never going to win it.
I was in the same boat. I was in California at that game. We'd spent the whole weekend talking about how we were going to plan a trip to Minnesota, and we were planning on it. Mm-hmm. And then that game happens, and Wentz goes down, and we couldn't really find out what was happening because we're just trying to find out, like, on Twitter, because we're so far away because that stadium is so huge. And then we win the game. Foles steps in. We win. Everyone's excited, and I'm walking down with my head out. I'm like, well, that's great. We won, but, like, season's over. We're done.
That's it.
We're gone. I canceled all my plans, and then I watched the Super Bowl in Philadelphia, which was magical.
Yeah, that was magic. And the Chiefs did beat the Eagles last year, but
hey, you know, we were talking about the ESPY Awards. Have you ever been?
I've never been.
We think it's the most, maybe the most unnecessary award show.
Is it?
Which is saying something, because almost every award show is unnecessary.
And, with a menu of useless award shows. It literally, as Preston has pointed out, you've won the award by winning already.
Yeah.
You know?
I would think, though, David, is your performance as champ kind would warrant you being there.
That's why I asked.
You know? Just to add a little bit of awful to the show.
You should host the show next year.
Yeah, bring the awful.
Champ would be so awful. Champ would probably say something about you guys better be standing up for the national anthem or something awful. Something awful in line with the current awful.
It's a no-brainer. They never made an approach.
I did the NFL Awards honors a couple years ago as, what's his name, the commissioner?
Goodell?
Goodell's brother, Russell.
That's great. That's
had
great.
Long hair down to my shoulders. Came out and said something nasty about Goodell,
the black sheep of the family. Yeah. When he was here, when they were doing the draft, you know, this is massive booing as he comes.
He gets
out.
It everywhere. Though.
He gets it everywhere.
It's
but
not
I
just
think
Philly.
Here
yeah.
it was special. But hey, the guy just, you know, soldiered through. You know, it's what he's used to at this point.
David, do you get asked or hired often to do characters? Like, do people say, I want, you know, I'll pay you however many dollars to come and do an event as champ or something like that?
No, I've never had that.
I wonder why.
Are you offering? What do you want to do?
Well, it's my
Rob, do you have any characters you do, Rob?
I think I have been offered that once, but I was not interested.
Because we've had comedians in who've done roles and they'll do corporate gigs or whatever.
Yes.
And so sometimes you'll show up at this corporate gig and be expected to be a comedian that corporation wants you to be at that particular show.
Yeah, that would be awful. That would be tough.
At this point in your career, Rob, you're a seasoned comedian yourself. I mean, you know, but still, you know, I don't know.
I'll take worse gigs. You'll take worse gigs.
That's basically what I'm asking.
You're paying me, I'll do whatever.
Have you ever done, because for a few years I did stand-up, and I was doing the most bizarre gig I ever did was for the parent company that made Aramis cologne. And it was very weird. But have you done anything like that?
I did a nudist resort in West Virginia.
A nudist resort in West Virginia.
So just picture 60-year-old white people, fat and naked. And yep. That's the audience. Yep. So I love them. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Did they come naked to the show?
Yeah. They.
It's the whole thing. They're living naked. That's what you're there for.
The hardest part was, well, that's a weird word, but it's they have a buffet, and you're like, I can't eat around naked people. It's just, you're looking it down the buffet line, and that's, I don't want that. So that, and it's really hot in there because they're naked and you're not. So you're hot. So it's very uncomfortable.
It's weird too with anything like that, whether it be a nude beach or, you know, you would see nudies as a kid, you know, it'd be there, the classic playing volleyball and all that stuff. But that those aren't the people that go to nudist colonies.
No, it's not sexual. It's not at all. Free. This is who they are. They're old school hippies or something. That's the whole vibe.
Yeah, yeah, and it's
it's West Virginia, so it just adds another element,
right? Which I believe, and beautiful country, but and I think maybe you guys will verify, the dumbest place in the country by far.
I don't know. I've been to Florida.
Florida's our Germany, we call it, because the amount of stories Preston doesn't feature, 80% of the stories out of that feature are from Florida.
Yep. Yeah, we have a jingle called Florida Man. Anytime there's a story that leads with a Florida man, you know it's going to be a good one, and we have this jingle.
Florida Man, Florida Man.
It's just its own little place.
I should have said that we're playing Florida at the end of August.
yeah, back to Orlando. We were in Tampa earlier.
Yeah.
Tampa's not bad. You two guys, you're touring right now. Does your relationship go way back?
Sexual.
Sexual relationship. Yeah. Purely sexual.
At a nudist. We played
nudist.
You met at a nudist colony.
He was naked, and I want more
of
that.
He was by the potatoes au gratin.
Yes.
Now, we met 4 or 5 years ago in D.C., where that's your hometown.
Yeah, we did this club outside D.C. I just happened to work with him, and then we hit it off, and then we've probably done 10 weeks, you know.
With stand-up with comedians who are seasoned and travel around a lot, you have an opener that you sort of rely on.
Yeah, you're like, you know what you're getting. You know you're going to get
the crowd right,
The whole show's going to be great. You don't have to worry about digging out a hole. Plus, Rob doesn't have any kid stuff that he does.
Pardon me, sorry.
I don't want to have to tell whoever my opener might be, like, hey, do you have kid stuff? You can't do it.
Right, right.
Because I got 5 kids.
Oh, my God. Right. If someone eats 5? Up your material, right.
Guess what I'm
going to do. And I have 0 kids.
Yeah. Age range of your kids?
A-frames?
Age range.
No.
I do a lot of A-frame jokes.
Thank you.
It's a big architecture, actually.
Yes. Very niche.
And then I finished with the geodesic dome.
Very niche.
It's my closer. Come on.
Our Buckminster Fuller is your... That's hilarious.
Charlie is 19. Margo is 16. Sargent and Audrey are 12.
Sargent is a great name.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah.
And then Eve is 7.
Okay.
Wow.
I came to New York to do a thing for Misfits and Monsters, Bobcat Goldthwait's new...
The new series.
Yeah.
Our video guy, Nick, was telling us telling me about it. It sounds really cool. It's like a Twilight Zone-ish, Black Mirror-ish sort of deal.
It's an anthology series.
You play a werewolf politician?
I play a politician that turns into a werewolf. It's an allegory story of the current... clown that's in the White House. It's got an evil guy, but he happens to be a werewolf.
Right.
And so,
and they're like, so do you have anything in your history?
Yeah. Well, I'm a werewolf. anything else? I ate a toddler once. And I was a werewolf.
Yes.
And then people find out about him being a werewolf, and he still gets elected.
There you go.
Because then they got people going, I want a werewolf in the White House.
Right. Goldthwait is a, not to go off on a tangent, because we wanted to talk about the kids as well and the original point, but he is a really solid director.
He's awesome.
He's been working the craft for a while.
He's fantastic.
Going back to like Shakes the Clown and stuff. We've had him in a couple times to promote his. He even did it like a really minimal Blair Witch-ish kind of Bigfoot horror movie, which was really good.
Yeah, they love
it. Just sound.
Yeah,
and so it's amazing to see. And he's also We've been watching the Robin Williams documentary, which is phenomenal.
Is it? Okay.
And he is, they were the best of buds. So
Bobcat, man, he's fantastic.
Who knew? Yeah.
He's great. I mean, his stand up is still stellar. We happened to be the week I was filming back last year in Atlanta for the series, there was a comedy show going on, or a comedy festival happening in town. And I knew the organizers, and so they asked me to do something. So I asked Bobcat. I said, hey, do you want to go up and do 10 minutes tonight? We're both going to do that. And we thought we'd be part of the main show, which was at an auditorium. Yeah. They had us in a tent in a parking lot.
The open mic tent.
The open mic tent.
With folding chairs and this makeshift stage that was about 5 feet tall. It was just ridiculous. And I went up and had a good set, and then Bobcat goes up, and he's a master.
Yeah.
He's a master. It was just fun to watch someone who's like, wow, that shows you just how long he's been doing it, how good he is. It was just beautiful.
Who were you, between you both, when we talk about the Robin Williams special and the documentary, who inspired you, who got you going in your early days of comedy? Because I think everyone has, you know, one or two people that just, this is...
Sure,
this
I loved it. Sam Kinison. That was my first true comedian love.
Kinison was unbelievable. And I've told these guys, it's a story. It's the Huntington Yacht Club. I'm from New York, and Kinison, you talk about bombing. He was playing... Someone inappropriately booked him into this very hoity-toity, Grey Poupon sort of yacht club.
Whoops.
And so he's up on stage, and he's just barrel-assing through the show. And at the end, he ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know, I wipe my ass with a list of your sacred dead.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh.
But Kinison for you as well, or who?
I was more of a sketch and improv background. So for me coming up, it's Abbott and Costello, the Marx Brothers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, Monty Python, the
Were
early
you Laurel and Hardy?
Life.
Pardon? Laurel and Hardy fan as well?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Not as much. Like, Abbott and Costello was really my thing, because I'd watch it with my dad on Saturday afternoons.
Yeah.
Chick. The Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Yes.
Has some of the...
Come on.
Some of the funny... And I think they're underappreciated.
Agreed.
Because people think they're too... But there's an exchange with the Wolfman, you know, Larry Talbot, when he's just talking about... you have a straight man with Bud Abbott, unparalleled,
right.
and they're joking back and forth, and suddenly he just grabs him and he goes, is he serious? And Bud Abbott goes, he's gonna murder you, and just a throw off line is hilarious.
Well, my son, he just turned 11, so when he was 10, I think I said something like, who's on first now? What's on, and he didn't know what I was talking about, so I showed it to him. And it holds up. It was making a 10-year-old laugh. And
wow.
That's how timeless, you know, those guys are.
That's perfect. Yeah. I loved it. And I made the mistake of showing my son Charlie, who's 19 now. I showed him Monty Python and the Holy Grail at age 10, and he didn't get it.
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite comedy movie.
Preston just did with his,
my son who's 16 now, and he loved it. So
you may have to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there is nuance to it that won't click.
Oh, yeah. He loves it.
So do you, because he comes in, Preston will come in and is like, I showed it and they loved it or whatever. They're listening to Queen or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Are you cautious about indoctrinating or attempting to force fandom on your kids?
You mean in terms of...
I want you to love this, but I don't want to force it too much on you for fear you'll hate it.
They did not like Apocalypse Now.
Really?
That's one of my favorites.
But you know what? If you look at those movies and movies that I love, like, you know, the pacing is so atypical of pacing in movies today.
It's patient.
Long,
yes.
Single takes that are just... And unless you've had a bit of experience with that, you're going to hate it.
Yeah. Although my son Charlie's now decided to be an actor out of nowhere. And
really?
So, last year he's going to go to college, and a week before I was going to write the first check, he goes, "Yeah, Dad. And he's acting like he's playing basketball in the house. He's got a great shock of hair. Good looking kid. 6'4". He goes, "I think it would be an actor, a successful actor." I'm like, "Okay, well, that's the good kind to be." But I assume it's kind of like a firefighter thing. Like, well, I'll just go do what Dad does.
Yeah.
And I've been very fortunate. I've always worked. There's never been a time in the house where it's like, oh, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So he thinks well, I'm better looking than that guy. So this has got to be easy.
Yeah, I'm hot. So, yes. You know, obviously people want to put me on camera.
And he's not entirely off base when it comes to that, but there's some other stuff involved, too.
Well, but you never know. It's one of those things, like, if you've got that confidence and you assume it's going to happen, it can.
It can, yeah.
And he is good looking. He's got James Dean hair.
Well, who's that guy? Craig Ferguson, right? Yes. He lived in the United States for a week before he got his first gig?
Is that right?
Something along those lines. Because, listen, if
the
you
Drew
have
Carey
it,
show?
It, yeah, you got it, you got it. And it's as simple as that. I want to talk to you about a movie that maybe a lot of people don't know about. Obviously, everybody knows about Anchorman, but... and this might be available on Hulu, Netflix, or whatever, but Cheap Thrills.
Thank you.
What a fun movie. And that's your great. Character is awesome. But Ethan Embry's in it. You're in it.
Pat Healy.
Pat Healy is in it as well. And it's just, I mean, it could be a stage show. I mean,
I thought so, too. It plays like a play.
Well, I'm not familiar, and I'm pretty much...
great. It's on Netflix. Yeah. I looked the other day.
Is it? Okay.
Because we were looking for movies to watch, and it's like, no, you can't watch this movie, kids.
Says here it came out in 2013.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really good. It's rated R. It's not a comedy.
No.
It's kind of a dark thriller with some comedic elements. I never thought there'd be a laugh in it. I watched it with... audiences, you know, when it first came out, and there was tons of laughs. I couldn't believe it.
So Pat Healy and Ethan Embry play these two guys who I believe went to high school together and just so happened upon each other at a bar one night. And, you know, they're both kind of in a point in their lives where, man, they could really use some money. And then they meet your character who just so happens to have a lot of money.
I did.
Yes.
And you have. Yes, I did see it. In fact, we had you on to talk about it.
Why? Yes, probably you're doing stand up and maybe promoting that at the same time.
Yeah, it plays out. In fact, it is very stagey. It takes place basically in that house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
you
very
easily
good.
Do it as a play.
And you were benignly menacing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one point in the movie, and I just keep thinking about it. I'm looking at you. There's a point in the movie where these guys are they going to do it or are they not going to do it? And the camera cuts to you, and you're just kind of like nodding, like,
yeah. Let it happen.
Did you dig that? Is there a fear when you're known for one thing or one type of thing primarily of going there?
No, to me, I was like happy that it was a transitional type thing. And, you know, it was a smaller movie, so I knew it wasn't going to be a big, you know, like, oh, look out, look who's trying to do something different.
he's got his jug band.
But it does work.
It's fun.
And
it's
I am good.
Yeah, I am good. So, well, you know, Adam McKay is doing, look at the stuff he's doing now.
He won an Oscar.
Yes.
He's a buddy from Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah. I've done improv with McKay since 1990.
Right.
We're doing the crazy make-em-ups.
Yeah.
The off-the-cuffy Mad Libs, you know, but doing long-form improv. And my buddy wins an Oscar.
It's very cool.
I love it. Yeah. But he's one of those, I don't know if you've had him on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, many times.
He's a friend of the show. He's a great guy.
The funniest guy I've ever met is McKay.
And he's quirky, though, he has sort of a quirky way about him, but the stuff is great. And with the right people, such as yourself, it's gold.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing. So, you know, we do Anchorman, and then for the second one, he had a monitor up near the set. And he'd be, I'm sorry, a PA system.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd have a microphone. And so he would just throw out new lines. Because we'd have your stuff, and then we'd do the scene, and then he'd say this, because he'd have a mic back by the monitor. And then I'd come in the morning with my alts,
right, new lines.
And he would he'd laugh at all of them, and then he'd suggest something different that was 20 times better. You're like, oh,
there's
man.
A great scene. I was telling these guys about it where it's in the second one where you and Will Ferrell are hugging over a counter and it goes on and on. I watch the, it's a rarity. Has it ever been done where you took the outtakes of one movie and made a whole new movie, which he did, but you still have the alternate takes on those two films are pure enjoyment. Can you watch them and laugh?
I haven't seen it.
Really?
No.
The film or the outtakes?
The outtakes.
Okay.
That's terrible to say, but my kids have. Have you seen the musical?
No.
There's a musical in the second one. It was never put in it, but I thought it might be on that longer one.
No, it was on any of the blooper stuff I've seen. I haven't.
We get to New York and we don't know what it's like what's going on. It's this song called It's a Whole New World. We can't get our minds around all these different people.
It is in the second one.
Yes.
Yeah,
but it's on an alternate thing.
Okay.
And in the middle of that musical, we stop and we meet a gay person, and then we really can't get our minds around this. We're like, so, do you live in a coffin? He's like, no, that's a vampire. Can you go out during the day? He's like, no. That's a vampire. And then Champ whispers, do you tell people? Well, and then we break into a song called If I Were Gay for a Day.
Oh, my God.
If I were gay for a day, there's nothing I wouldn't say. That's the gay way. And that's in the middle of this musical. Then it goes into that. Then it goes back into the big musical production with dancing and all that stuff. And I thought, oh, there great. It is.
There we We're go. Looking at clips of it right now.
I have not seen this.
The thing I love about it is I knew that there were going to be some homophobes singing to themselves if I were gay for a day and not know it. That's the part.
Because it's so catchy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well in the first one, David, the you know, Skyrockets in Flight comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's funny for so many reasons, but it's also the harmonies that you guys hit are spot on.
Yeah.
So I've watched it and laughed a million times, and I've also watched it and be like, man, these guys really nail it.
Yeah, and you know, we only did 3 takes.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So it was kind of a one. It wasn't in the script, and McKay said, hey, do you guys think is there a song you'd want to do? And I'm pretty sure it was Rudd's idea. Like, how about Afternoon Delight? Yeah. And so that first show, we had what they call triple bangers, which means there's 3 rooms in a trailer as opposed to your own trailer. And so me, Steve, and Paul were in that same trailer. And so then we'd go, and Will would come in, and we just practiced a couple times, and then that was it.
I just saw Paul Rudd on Colbert's promoting Ant-Man, and he was talking about a charity event that you're a part of, because you guys are both from Kansas City.
Well, I'm from near there. My wife's from KC, but yeah.
Okay, and it was to benefit a hospital?
Children's Mercy Hospital.
That's awesome.
We raised $2.2 million this year.
That's what grabbed my attention. Yeah. That is a staggering amount of money.
It was nice, yeah. And so it's Rudd, myself, Riggle, Stone Street, and Sudeikis. All from Kansas City or the Kansas City area. And then we bring a bunch of our celebrity buddies in from all over the, Kansas, from New York and California.
And what's the event? What do you, is it stand-up?
Oh, what we do is we do, we do a softball game. We go visit the kids at Children's Mercy, and then we do a softball game at Kauffman Stadium, which is Royals Park. People get upset if they call it Royals Park, but it's Kauffman Stadium. And on the field, and then we sit and watch that in the dugouts. We get all these sponsors that pay a lot of money to go hang out, and we hang out with them for a little bit. The next day, we go visit the kids again. Then we have a big bowling event where people can pay to bowl with celebrities, so it's another level of fundraising. And then we have a big show auction that night.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Were you invited to that, Rob, or no?
No, I was actually uninvited. The kids don't want you.
There's just no kid. The kids specifically requested you not show up.
And for the kids, I didn't show up.
Anything. That's the kind of caring person you are.
I went to Florida with Marissa. Yes. Kept calling her Kathy. It was weird.
I didn't mind, though, awkwardly.
Can get weird. David, film-wise, anything else coming up in the near future?
Let's see. There's always... Oh, you know, right now I think there's a thing called Bernard and Huey available somewhere on video on demand. It's an old... It's kind of the... It's Carnal Knowledge 2.
Oh, really? But,
yeah.
I was a fan of Carnal Knowledge 1, yeah.
This one is... But it's a bit dated, I'll be honest with you.
Is it?
It's written in 89 or something like that.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of misogyny in it. That just goes, but that's way Jules Pfeiffer wrote it at that time. He was doing these characters for Playboy, and these were these cartoons, and then he made it into a screenplay.
It gets weird because also you have to judge things in the time that they come from. You know, like you look at some of the John Hughes stuff, judge it from the time. It's unfair to hold it up to a light now and say, well, no. So if people take it in context, but I remember what you're talking about. Yeah. And that's what it is, and then you understand that.
Right.
So but that's a weird thing, yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know. There's a bunch of independents I did last year. I don't know if they're coming out. Departures, this, that. I can't. Oh, you know what? Let me say this. Captain Underpants.
Oh, yes. There you go. Yeah.
So it was a cartoon on Netflix. So that's out.
Very cool.
And Misfits and Monsters.
And you're Mr. Meaner in Captain Underpants?
Yes, so that's fun for me, for the kids.
That's cool.
My youngest daughter's excited about that. So.
That's awesome.
Nice. Let's do something like that.
Well, David and Rob are both performing at a Helium Comedy Club. You guys will be here all weekend. That's great. You're playing tonight and tomorrow. There's 7:30 and 10 p.m. shows, and you can get those tickets at heliumcomedy.com. So we're hoping you go out and see it. And we'd love that you come by here, man. Thank you so
much.
You
guys are always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Great to meet you, man.
Yeah. Pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Come to the shows. It's going to be amazing shows tonight and tomorrow. 7:30 and 10.
David Koechner and Rob Meyer.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. I could have called you Kathy.
That's my middle name.
We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar. Grab your friends and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
Nick just brought up a little factoid about Corduroy, the song that we played there in honor of
his birthday. Fabric?
No, not the fabric, but it notes that the song, although not revolutionary, the structure is not completely normal, as almost no lyrics are repeated, including choruses, and the fade out of the song begins after a verse rather than the traditional ending of a song in a chorus. So it's kind of unique in that sense. I never really noticed it doesn't have a repeated chorus. In fact, I don't know any of the words to that song at all.
That is good, man. I will never stop to beat your breath.
That's all I know.
And you guys, I mentioned this before, but you know who is referenced about the corduroy jacket, right? Is Ricky Martin. So there's this story that goes along with it, with this song, is that Eddie was, you know, grunge and he'd buy stuff in thrift shops, and he had this jacket. And
do you have anything Ricky Martin?
And Eddie bought it for $6 in some local thrift shop. And then grunge became fashion, which right. became profitable.
Right.
And so some store somewhere sold a very much fancier version of that jacket. And the model that they used to sell that jacket was Ricky Martin.
That's what it's based on.
I did not know that. All right, nice. Let me see a couple things I want to mention. Philly's Hottest Swimsuit, the voting is enabled. It's up and running. You can now take a look at the pictures and place your votes at PrestonAndSteve.com. The gallery's right there on the front, easy to find. Winner gets $1,000 cash, over $1,000 in jewelry, and gift cards from Steven Singer Jewelers and a professional photo shoot by Allison Dunlap Photography. So now we place it in your hands. You get to tell us who the winner should be. So please do that if you would. And speaking of winning, it starts today. We are headed to London, England for a live broadcast. It's Miller Lite London Calling with Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show. We are headed there on October 28th. Actually, we're headed there a few days before that. But the football game, the Eagles game, is going to be on October 28th at Wembley Stadium. Tailgate before the game, all kinds of stuff. Hotel, transportation, London, Saturday pep rally with alum players, tickets to the game, and so on. This is what the winner gets. How do you win?
All right. How do you win?
That might be the question. Well, today, you start by going to Xfinity Live. Marissa will be at Xfinity Live from 5 to 7 p.m. today. And while you're there, you get registered. And we will have one winner at the event today who will be a finalist for the grand prize, which is the trip with us to London.
So cool.
There's a preliminary prize that you'll win tonight if you are chosen. And then you'll be in the running for the grand prize. And we have 12 of these events all together.
Yeah, Preston, all day long you've been talking about getting out and doing something nice. Come to Xfinity Live, have some Miller Lights, and, like, go to the Phillies game.
Yeah.
The Phillies are in first place.
That's perfect. And then tomorrow is another event from 9 to 11 p.m. Miller Lite will be at Liberty Union, and that's at 325 Simpson Drive, Chester Springs. And they are $3 light aluminum pints. By the way, there's Miller Lite specials at your event tonight, Marissa. But stop by Liberty Union tomorrow from 9 to 11. You'll have a chance to be one of our finalists as well.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So this is beginning today, and I'm definitely excited about that. So we're looking forward to it. Forgot what we were going
to
talk about.
What to do? What to do?
What do we
there
do?
There are a couple of topics, Preston. You want me to call it? Because we had actually, you know, we got frazzled and other stuff.
Here's the one that
I think. Oh, I know what we want to talk about.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
So the Brady Bunch house is up for sale, the one that they use the exterior shots for that you've seen, and what I've been told every single episode.
Yes.
That house
makes, it's an establishing shot.
The exterior makes an appearance. So that house is up for sale. $1.85 million. It's just under 2,500 square feet on a third of an acre of land. It's California, of course.
Yes.
I think it's Studio City. And so that's how much it's going for. And, yes, the iconic nature of that probably has something to do with the price a little bit. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, that's what a house costs.
Crazy real estate prices.
But Casey had an interesting conceptual idea. If you had the opportunity to live in any house on television, which one would you choose? Now, obviously, you can choose more than one, but...
And I would say, I would like to say, like...
Within reason?
Minus the mansions, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Clearly, like, you know, living in the Silver Spoons house with the
train.
With a train running through your living room. That, I mean, that's a go-to. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
I would stay away from...
Yeah, I know what you're saying. The ridiculous ones, but the standard family home or maybe even an apartment.
See, I was thinking there's some places, you know,
the governor's mansion in Benson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the Adams family home I always dug.
Steve, that's the first one I thought of this morning because there's so much stuff
cool
in there.
Cool stuff in it.
Yeah.
I might go with the Webster home. Now, Webster was first.
It was a dump.
First, they lived in an apartment in Chicago.
Yeah. Yes.
But there was an apartment fire, so they ended up moving.
And they had a dumbwaiter.
They had a dumbwaiter, and they had a secret passageway through a grandfather clock. The grandfather clock would open like a door, and then there would be a secret passageway.
One problem was they had that annoying little prick running around.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't come with the apartment.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
He doesn't come with the
house. Hey, if you're talking about just house designs and you're talking about cool, you know, and always it's outlandish, you know. But the apartment in Friends was a stellar.
Yeah.
Was that yours?
I was going to say that because one of my favorite lines ever was a long time ago in an interview with Jennifer Aniston. She said, how would like two girls that don't even have jobs afford this apartment? She said, well, it only has three walls and no ceiling. So that's what it was. But there was one episode where they explained that it was Monica's grandmother's apartment.
It was a rent-controlled building.
It was a rent-controlled building. But it had that awesome terrace out the side, two bedrooms. It was great. They lived across from their friends, ironically. But that was a great one. That or the Will and Grace apartment.
Mm. I don't remember the Will and Grace apartment.
I think the friend... you want to get out of the apartments, get into the burbs. I know that's... or to get to an actual home.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of just regular homes that are cool... You know, none are coming to mind. I think of the more outlandish ones that I'm really drawn to. You know who had a cool apartment, though, Preston?
Who?
The Monkees.
Yeah, they did have a cool apartment.
They had the fire pole.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, you're right. A lot of shows had apartments.
Yeah, yeah.
The Jeffersons was an apartment.
Dalkey.
Was that an apartment?
That was an apartment, yeah.
Different Strokes was an apartment.
Three's Company.
Three's Company was an apartment.
There hasn't been a really cool apartment in television in a while.
Well, Different Strokes. Well, is that an apartment, though?
But that's like not a that's condo. Current.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess not an apartment. Yeah, a condo.
They had two floors.
Yeah, okay.
My two dads had a cool apartment.
They did.
Lots of lofts and little rooms.
Well, because, you know, the one dad was an artist, and, you know, he made it cool looking.
Yeah, Greg Evigan.
Do you know his name?
Of course.
He was in one thing.
Oh, no, he was in BJ and the Bear, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
The legendary Greg Evigan.
The Golden Girls house. That was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Was it?
Probably smelled like piss.
Yeah, probably. No, it had several belts.
Oh, no, you did it again.
First floor living, one floor living. I enjoyed that.
My mind keeps going back to like standard family sitcoms in those homes and whether or not they were considered nice or not. I can't really remember.
You know how to
so like Family Ties is one that comes to mind.
You know why Family Ties had a nice house? You know, as a good apartment person, going back good to apartments again, a family affair.
Yeah, well, he was rich.
He was rich.
Yeah.
And he had a doorknob.
Uncle Keith?
Uncle Beale. Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill,
it was,
that's right.
Yeah, it was...
And Mr. French.
Mr. French. But yeah. You remember the doorknob was in the middle of the door.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Full House and Growing Pains both had great houses.
How hitty are those cool doorknobs?
We're looking at video of it now. What's that, Case?
No, just Full House and Growing Pains both had pretty decent houses.
All right, how about... Now, would this be... it might be too much. It might be floating in the mansion range, but Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I mean, well, yeah, that's definitely a mansion.
But, and, I mean, it wasn't a ridiculous... I mean, it was very well off, but not...
He was a... What was he? He was an attorney. Yeah, a judge, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. What? Two and a Half Men on Malibu, on the beach.
That is a... Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good call.
Yeah.
All right, they just showed an exterior...
It's a great place to live, huh?
They just showed an exterior of the Fresh Prince. Yes, that was a mansion.
It was definitely a mansion.
Huge.
There was a pool house, though, right?
Yes. You're right. Yeah. So how about I would live in the pool house? Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I think my dream city house, I don't want to mention the show, but the Cosby House.
I was going to say that. Yeah, the brownstone, that actually was a beautiful house. Yeah. Yeah.
What was what show was the Cosby House featured on?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to mention
the show. I don't want to mention the show, but the Cosby House. I mean,
did you mean the Huxtable?
Yeah. Okay. Cosby's house.
What show would that have been?
I went from not mentioning his name to talked about a lot.
I don't want to mention the show, but I'd like to live in the All in the Family house.
Oh, you know, had a good one? Just the 10 of Us. Remember all the girls lived upstairs in like this big...
It was a sequel to Growing Pains.
Yes. Yeah, Coach Lubbock.
Yes. No. Jamie Luner was one of the sisters, and she went on to be on... 90210.
Yes, and some
soap opera.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I had a pretty nice house. Eight is enough.
Eight is enough to fill the world with joy.
Joy.
I have a question for you guys. Did the Cunninghams move, or did they just change?
They changed the house.
They just changed the house without ever mentioning anything?
The filmed non-studio audience house was a lot smaller.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then Fonzie had the apartment above the garage.
Right, of course. If you remember. Cuts down. But I remember Fonzie's apartment.
Yeah, it was a rat hole.
Yeah, it was a rat hole.
It was an S-box. let me go to a couple of calls here. I have, let's go with Steven. Hi, Steven. Good morning.
Hey, guys. You're the best.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So we're talking about TV show homes that you'd like to live in.
I think 1313 Mockingbird Lane, the Munsters. That'd be cool to have a steps with a door that opens up. And
yeah, the Munsters had a cool home. It was a little dirtier, it was still cool.
And remember, there was a laboratory,
a
in
dungeon.
The basement.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And also stuff.
It had the if you remember, the phone was in a coffin that came out of the wall.
Yep. Was it?
Yes. Yep. So when they would pull on a rope. And the coffin would come out, and inside was a phone.
Wow. Thanks.
I think it was to the right of the front door.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate it. I wonder, guys. Steve, the Addams Family house, if it would come with Thing or not.
It was great.
That'd be the best, right?
the best servant you could possibly have. He had, you remember, you'd walk through, you'd pull the doorknob. And then the different things, it's sort of weird. I know you've seen it, Preston. It's a color photograph of the set from an angle that they never showed the house from.
Yeah.
And you're like, where? What is that? And then you see the foot sticking out of the swordfish or the marlin.
Yep.
And you know where it is.
Yep. You know whose house I like on current TV is Ed O'Neill and Sofia Vergara in Modern Family.
That's a very cool home.
It's like a modern design, a lot of glass everywhere. They got a pool.
Is he kind of well off? I'm
he is.
The show
he
in a
is.
Long
a,
time.
He. Closets is his business.
Okay.
Would you guys ever live in Melrose Place?
Everybody got laid by hot people.
Exactly.
You kidding me? When we first moved to the Philadelphia area, we lived in Corman Suites apartments. And
was that your Melrose Place?
It was our, no, I mean, Michelle and I were banging each other, but everybody else,
hot.
There was a lot going on.
Oh, was there?
Oh, yeah. So yes. We called it Melrose.
Well,
and because, you know, it was an apartment complex, and we knew everybody in our block and our area, and people would be sleeping with other people, and there was just a lot of gossip, and it was yeah. awesome.
What's
it
the
was
apartment?
Awesome.
There's an apartment complex on Henry.
The Summit.
That yeah. has its own bar, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, it does. In fact, my wife works out there every Saturday. Her trainer uses that gym, I think.
Okay. Yeah. It's called, they call it Melrose. Because,
do they really? Okay.
Yeah, because and not only that, they have shuttles, Nick, that take you all over the place. Like, you know, you can get tanked up and
well, yeah,
around.
There's bars, there's pools, and there's a lot of single people that live there, so they refer to it as the Melrose.
And there's a condom factory in the basement.
Shut up. My head is spinning. Where is this?
On Henry.
Called the Summit Hill Apartments.
Yes. By Kohl's.
It's right next to Kohl's, yeah.
Really? And they have a bar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In an apartment complex.
And it's a...
There's no good that can come from that.
Oh, there's a lot of good.
I know.
We were talking about beer goggles earlier.
Yeah.
And it's not like an expensive bar. Like, they'll have, like, Taco Tuesdays and do, like, $2 drinks. Like,
you don't
want to leave this. Because I did a gig there once.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's a... Well, I want to live there. Let me go to a couple more calls here. I have Mitch. Hi, Mitch. Good morning. Mitch!
How are you?
Yeah, Dukes, what's up, buddy?
It's nice to actually get through to you for once. I've been listening to you since Y100. So.
Oh, well, you finally made it. Thank you, sir.
No, I just want to let you know, the Home Improvement House.
The Home Improvement House.
What's so great about that house for you?
Just the fact that what he used to do to the basement during Halloween... That's for you, Steve.
Oh, he would go crazy, yeah, okay. and set it up. If you could have that set up. Otherwise, it was a fairly nondescript home. He had a nice... A garage with obviously with a whole bunch of tools and
but
everything.
It's, I mean, it is the rare rod. Occasion where the front door of the house on set is in the back of the set, right? So we've talked about this before where, like, sitcoms, okay, well, the front door is to the right or the front door is to the left or the front door is not seen and you're looking towards the back of the house. And in that particular, that set, because everything was kind of set in the kitchen, they had, like, a cool little family room off the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody came to the front door, they would walk towards the back of the set.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I never noticed that. Let me see. We're talking about the Brady Bunch home is up for sale. And what TV home would you like to be in? I'm going to go to Steve. Steve B. What's up, Steve?
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
What's up, Steve?
That guy's birthday today.
How could you not want to live on the Robin Masters estate on Magnum PI?
Yeah, it was a gorgeous estate. Magnum lived on that basically gratis because he provided security for Robin Masters and who was it? Higgins.
Higgins, yes.
Yeah.
That's a great one. You know what? Yeah, we can fantasize about these bigger homes.
Yeah, did you see the commercials for the new Magnum PI?
Thanks, man. No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's a commercial for a new Magnum PI, and the guy is not Selleck-esque. He's kind of an idiot.
He's not a manly man, or...
It doesn't seem to be.
Huh.
He's kind of an idiot.
When is that coming out?
Fall.
Okay. Let's see. How about this? I will go next to Richie. Hi, Richie. Good morning.
Hey, sorry about you guys at work.
It's okay.
It's all right, buddy. What's up?
All right. My obsession TV show, Entourage. Literally any of the houses that they stayed in Entourage. Any of them at all.
Yeah, they had gorgeous, you know, mega bachelor pads.
And that's it. It was the key bachelor pad for all of those guys. And there was always something fun going on.
Yeah, well, and they were surrounded by starlets and all that other stuff. So,
right.
Yeah.
If we're heading into that world, then Billions now, it's progressed, whereas he has like a bachelor pad in the city, and it is sick. It's like three stories and all sick glass windows.
Sick. I'd rather have his other house.
It's sick.
What if we went, let's shoot the worst.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go movies, TV, whatever.
All right.
And because the first one that comes to mind, me personally, is Tony Stark's Malibu.
It's awesome.
Place right on the cliff.
It's a very dangerous place to live, though, Preston.
I don't care.
Somebody shoots some missiles at it.
Yeah, no, but otherwise, gorgeous.
Yeah. What about pretty stunning.
That actually exists. I mean, that's a real house, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, it's CGI.
I don't
think
it is. Yeah. Is it CGI?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't know that.
Well, at least he can fly.
That bluff exists, so that where they shoot it, that's actually a place in Malibu, but the house itself is not real. What about Something's Gotta Give?
She lives in Connecticut? Or
I think it's the Hamptons somewhere.
Is it the Hamptons? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's a beach home, and it's a good movie. I don't know if it's great or not, but the house that she lives on the beach in the Hamptons is incredible.
It's pretty beautiful, and it's not obnoxious. So she's obviously very successful and has a lot of money. She's a playwright in the movie. But it's beautiful. It's just, you know what? That's a good one, Nick. I never would have thought of
that.
What
about Steve? I'm sure there's a Bond villain that has an estate that you wouldn't mind.
Well, Blofeld had a volcano, yeah, which is cool. Bond's homes were, they showed his home in Live and Let Die. And
he always
and,
seemed like a guy that didn't have roots anywhere, you know?
No, I'm into chicks. No, I live in, you know what I live in. Moist begins with a P. No, but actually he, if you're talking about, I mean, I was thinking of the Bruce Wayne's home in
Wayne
Batman
Manor.
V Superman, and you know, it's on a lake.
Oh, that one.
It's glass.
Yeah,
looks really cool.
That's like his home away from home. It seems right. like, which is
because he's within
awesome.
Walking distance to the Wayne Manor, which obviously burned down or had a fire or something. That's pretty slick.
How about the Duke's estate in
Duke's of
Trading Places?
Oh, in Duke's of Hazzard. I don't know about that. I mean, they could shoot
some pretty nice double wides out there. If you shop
no, the estate in that's pretty.
I flew over
and
that.
It's real place. It's it's on the main line.
It's in Gladwin. Yeah,
yeah. Oh my God! Look at that.
Jesus.
Look at the pictures of these places as we talk about them.
It's right near the Philadelphia Country Club.
Of course it is.
Is it across from it?
It's right down the street.
It's right next to the Coles Press.
Because I've played.
I guess it's probably West Conshohocken. So it's above the river. It's actually above the Schuylkill Expressway. You can see it. You can see the backside of it from the Schuylkill.
I drove right by there yesterday. What's that?
Does somebody actually live there?
Yeah, the Duke brothers.
I think so. Duke and Duke.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would take Dan Aykroyd's house then, the one in like Center City.
Okay,
there you go.
You love the city stuff.
Loves the city.
I just want some space, maybe like right on the water or something like that. That would be nice. I'd like that. What about the Jetsons' house?
Well, it's an animated. You know,
just thought of one in the Philadelphia area. At least the movie takes place is Steve, and they only show a little bit of it. But in History of Violence, at the end,
William Hurt lives. Yeah,
and then in the morning he goes out into to wash himself off. There's like a giant pond out back.
Yeah,
that looks pretty sweet.
Somebody actually on.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Line 8. I don't know if you remember this, Preston.
Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I don't know if you remember Robert York's TV show Vegas when he was a private investigator.
Dan Tana.
He had his car was actually in his house.
It was a Thunderbird.
Yeah, he'd pull it right in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm working on my bikes and cars, and how cool would it be to bring your car right into your living room? And
I think it would just smell awesome every time you pulled in.
Yeah.
Well,
you would shut it off and coast in. You know, you got to be smart about it.
Right.
57 Thunderbird,
And remember his assistant?
No.
What was her name? Yeah.
And then there was Audrey Landers was always hanging around.
Nice.
Yeah, and he had the goofy guy as his...
Binzer. Binzer was his name.
Oh, he's so stupid, wasn't he?
He was a dumbass.
Binzer?
Binzer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So we're looking at a screenshot of Dan Tana's apartment, Robert York in Vegas. He had one of those fireplaces that would sit in the middle of the room. It's in the shape of a bottle, kind of.
Right. It's got sort of what appears to be sort of like a bearskin rug around it.
Oh, my God.
One of those hanging...
How 1970s can you get?
Baby, when should you start the fire?
And Steve, and one of those bamboo chairs that hangs from the ceiling.
Sixth chair.
Oh, my God.
All right, turn around.
Everything looks uncomfortable in that apartment. Wow.
Shag carpet. No, he's ready. He's ready for business.
All right, here's a good one. I will go to Jonah. Jonah, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right, buddy. What pad would you like to have?
Austin Powers, Shagadelic spot in London.
That's pretty sweet.
No, he did it.
He did it. Thanks, Jonah. With the rotating bed and all that stuff, so...
Actually, there was a series of movies with Dean Martin, and that's what that was based on, that particular thing. Matt Helm movies. Matt Helm had a bed where Preston, it would slide down a track. It was a round bed, and then it would tilt up and slide you off into a pool.
Do you remember
these movies?
No, I didn't.
So his bed was on a track, and it would lead you into this indoor pool. If you guys can find footage of the Matt Helm bed.
Steve, there's a sequence in the movie The Jerk. Where Steve Martin is writing back to his family,
yeah,
and he's telling them about the new house that he bought, and he's like, You remember when I would chit-chat with Dad about wanting a big red billiard room with a giant stuffed camel in it?
Yeah.
And those times we'd talk about having a bathtub shaped like a clam.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I got that, too. That house was the same house used in The Godfather for director.
The director, yeah.
That they show near the beginning of the movie that ends up with the horse head in his...
Wolfsheim, right? What's his... Is that
I don't
same?
Remember. Yeah, yeah. I don't remember. But it was the same house used in The Jerk. So that is a solid one.
Do you appreciate horses? Am I? Yeah, yeah. The whole... very cool. Tom? Yeah. Yeah, this is the Matt Helm bed.
Yep.
All right. There's a text message that comes through that says he would like Francis's house in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I would like Pee-wee's house.
Pee-wee's house. Yes. Yeah.
That's well, Francis had an indoor pool.
Yeah. Right? Well, no, that was his bathtub.
That was the bathtub?
That was his bathtub.
Oh, God. It's been so long since I've seen that. All right. There's a lot of good ones. So the Brady Bunch house, believe it or not, that house that you saw in the exteriors of that show is going for $1.85 million. It's just under 2,500 square feet.
Yeah.
And I think it's only got two bedrooms, three bathrooms, and a third of an acre of land for $1.85 million.
If they have any sort of sense of humor in the house, they have to have that horse statue.
Yeah.
That was broken?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I wonder if it has the Jack and Jill bathroom.
Yes,
that
right.
You have to share.
I know.
With the two bedrooms.
After Peter just, you know, blows an enchilada out of his O-ring, Jan goes in to do 100 strokes in her hair.
Oh, my nose.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Is this the end of the conversation?
This is.
Oh, okay.
Why? That's perfect. That's how you wrap this up. Ba-da-up. All right, I want to give away some turkey bacon, the last of that I have. Friends from Godshall's are here this morning. 94% fat-free real wood smoked turkey bacon available at Acme Redner's and ShopRite, or you can ask for it at your local grocer. Locally made, by the way. 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I think, do I have two of those left, Case?
I think so, Mr. Max. Yeah, we got two.
Callers 15 and 16, we'll set you up with that. We'll come back in a moment, and some bizarre file stories. There's one in particular, the first one that I'm going to leave with, I want you to hear. We'll be back in a moment. Yep.
This summer. Surprise! The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
All right, Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and this series of stories this morning is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Okay, so a former Olympic show jumper.
Yes.
So these are the people that do an equestrian event. Used pig's blood to daub lewd messages inside of Tory Peer's house, which is a member of parliament, I believe, after he cheated on her, a court has heard.
And this is part of the show?
Excuse me?
No. Oh, he's pissed off.
Okay. Lizzie Perbrick entered conservative peer David Pryor's home after seeing him in the arms of another woman. She used a garden sprayer and liters of pig's blood to cover walls with phrases such as whore and lady slut. She admitted one charge of criminal charge.
Lady slut.
The court heard Pubrick also drew a penis on the floor and left a check for $1,000 at Lord Pryor's home in Kennington, South London.
Wow.
Simon Nichols, defending, told the court that the pair, both estranged from their spouses, had been in a relationship for several years, adding that his client felt that her affair with Lord Pryor had longevity. But he said, to put this delicately, this comes to an end when she discovers him in the arms of another woman who is married to another member of the House of Lords. The whole incident she describes as cathartic, and she has now moved on, apparently.
So we're looking at the room. It says Mags wet tween legs.
Yep.
And whore. And what is the word on the back of the bed there, Preston?
I think it says whore as well. Or no, I it says W-O-R-E. I think she missed the H.
Damn it. War. She ran out of pig's blood.
That's autocorrect.
Yeah. It's war, so.
What's it good for?
I don't know.
Absolutely nothing.
I guess so. But apparently he said that to put this delicately, it comes to an end when she discovered in the arms of another woman. The whole incident she describes as cathartic. I already read that part. This was a one-off offense caused by the breakdown of a relationship. Mr. Nichols told the court this whole case has the feel of something lifted straight out of the pages of a Jilly Cooper novel.
Of course, the Jilly Cooper novel is all featuring pig's blood.
The court heard Perbrick, who handed herself into police straight afterwards, played loud music as she carried out the act, selecting pig's blood because the victim, quote, liked pigs.
And this guy was cheating on her.
A neighbor raised the alarm when blood was seen seeping underneath the door.
Jesus.
Mr. Nichols said at 63, she accepts the way that the incident is completely out of character. The judge described the series of highly abusive slogans as quite appalling. And she sentenced Perbick to 120 hours of community service and imposed a restraining order. So earlier, Mr. Nichols apologized on behalf of his client after she arrived at court wearing a white T-shirt and pink shorts. Her counsel said that she was let down by transport links and was in such a rush she did not have time to change into more suitable attire at court.
Of course, boot to bonnet.
Yeah. Tortilla chips aren't something that you'll likely think of when you hear the term highly flammable, but that doesn't mean they can't catch on fire. The Austin, Texas Fire Department said in a Facebook post that firefighters responded to a fire on July 12th at a factory on Trade Center Drive, and they arrived to find the fire had been caused by spontaneous combustion of tortilla chips.
I've never heard of this.
The department writes the factory in question was trying out a new way to handle the waste from the chips that, suffice it to say, didn't work out so well. The fire was confined to the exterior of the building and to multiple pallets of wood food waste. But large cardboard boxes of the same waste continued to ignite while we were on the scene. Firefighters had to return 3 days later when surviving boxes of the same food waste also burst into flames.
This might be the bad way to get rid of this stuff.
I have seen on, Hack My Life,
yes,
that you can use tortilla chips as kindling in a fire. They're very, very flammable.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Firefighters say they doused all remaining crates of the stuff with water to prevent them from also igniting.
Not guacamole?
The fire did not cause serious damage to the building.
Hmm.
A self-proclaimed pimp is now wanted in connection to an alleged carjacking at a McDonald's.
I am a pimp?
The victim told police, wait to hear how he introduced himself. The victim told police that he was driving down the road in a 2007 BMW when a silver Mercedes SUV began following him Monday night. Someone inside eventually motioned for him to pull over, and both vehicles turned into the McDonald's. Instead of a friendly chat, the driver, a man who called himself Pimp Earl,
Pimp Earl,
got out of the car along with a female companion and accused the man of taking their BMW.
Earl, to me, does not appear to be a common pimp name.
They demanded the keys, to which the victim refused. And he said, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. Pimp Earl reportedly had said this to the victim.
See, Pimp Earl sounds like pimple.
Yeah, it does.
Pimp right? Earl. Hey, you got a pimp Earl on your nose. That's when a third person in the suspect's SUV opened the rear door and brandished a rifle across his lap.
Let me call Pimp Bubba.
The victim said that the unknown man just sat there staring at him. Pimp Earl then grabbed the keys from the victim's hand, handed them to the woman, and all three took off. One was hurt in the incident, and the suspects are still at large.
That's worth it just for Pimp Earl.
That's why I put the story in there. A 61-year-old New Jersey woman has been charged with trying to smuggle nearly 10 pounds of heroin in packages that resembled cooked chicken after arriving Sunday at John F. Kennedy International Airport.
Very inventive.
Emma Soriano was taken into custody after disembarking from a flight to New York from Mexico City, United States Customs and Border Protection said in a statement.
Why are you injecting that cooked chicken into your forearm?
The four packages contained 9.7 pounds of heroin with an estimated street value of about $300,000. We're looking at the pictures of them right now. They look like real chickens. Soriano, a U.S. citizen, was caught while her baggage was being inspected. She faces federal narcotics charges and was turned over to Homeland Security investigators.
Finger looking good, right?
Yep. And then one last story, and we'll wrap it up with this one. There's a reason Goliath groupers are called the garbage disposals of the sea. They eat everything in sight, including sharks, apparently. A group of fishermen were able to witness a 500-pound grouper's rare meal during a fishing trip off the coast of Everglades City, Florida last week. Captain Jimmy Wheeler watched as someone in his group caught a 3-foot shark. Now, as the fishermen started reeling the creature in, a large shadow appears beneath it. I saw the video. It's wild. Wheeler instantly knew what was going to happen next. You can hear him in the video. So you watch this, guys. You're going to freak out. And then suddenly, an open-mouthed giant Goliath grouper swam up and ate this 3-foot-long shark. We're looking at the video of it.
It's amazing.
They are gigantic, these
Nature
groupers.
Nature is brutal.
Their mouths are huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and in a related story, I'm opening up a grouper farm next week.
The fishermen wrestled with the large fish for a few minutes until the line finally loosened and the Goliath grouper spit out the shark, which the fishermen planned to catch and release. That same grouper later swallowed a stingray. Somebody had said
that was
well.
One hungry grouper.
Yeah, they've become a nuisance, apparently, according to a lot of fishermen. They're eating everything. Goliath groupers have been protected in the state of Florida since 1990 due to declining populations. They must be immediately returned to the ocean unharmed if they are accidentally caught on a fishing line.
Just all mouth.
One of our diving excursions, I did see two grouper, and they weren't like a big 500-pound one like that, but they were large. And you needed to keep your distance.
There was a story about a diver who got her arm caught in one. Do you remember that?
No.
The mouth closed down, and so because the mouth is open, it's this big gaping maw,
it's huge.
Right? And so she reached in, and it closed down on top of her and swam for a while. She had a scuba rig on, so it was okay. But
I saw that with a whale shark one time.
Yeah.
Somebody get caught in the mouth of a whale shark. But man, groupers are just they're massive.
I don't think I want to stick my hand into any living creature's mouth.
Yeah,
maybe a kitten.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file. Casey's shuffling papers.
He's a shuffler, isn't he?
Usually means something shuffling. Free. I'm sorry, it's a mess around here, Case. I've got too much going on.
What did I do?
Were you thinking movie passes?
No, I was actually thinking beer.
Beer?
Beer?
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
Hot
with beer.
Spit.
All right. Well, let me see if I can gather a case of beer, and we'll take caller number 20, and I will give you Yards Philly Pale Ale in 16-ounce cans. Local favorites Philly Pale Ale, Brawler, and IPA are now available in cans. You can go to yardsbrewing.com to schedule a brewery tour at their new location of 5th and Spring Garden. You can pick up a case of cans at Avenue Wine and Spirits on Delaware Avenue in Wilmington. So call right now, 215-263-WMMR number 20. You get it. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Royal Blood.
I only lie when I love you.
Nathaniel Rateliff in the Night Sweats. Tom Kiefer featuring Lizzie Hale.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Zero Smashing Pumpkins on 93.3 WMMR. God damn it!
I sense a miscue.
Yes. Happens. Hey, why don't we ask the lesson question right now?
Sure.
We have a pair of 3-day go everywhere passes for Exponential Music Festival presented by Subaru. And let's see. I will go with this particular question. How about this one? Skip Lagged helps you find prices for flights the airlines don't want you to see. What other site does Steve like to use for travel? You mentioned it real quickly.
I did, yes.
And it's not real, so don't give us a real one. I don't know. Did we look it up?
Nope. You never know.
215-263-WMMR. Skip Lagged helps you find prices for flights the airlines don't want you to see. What other sites does Steve like to use for travel? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Sorry,
this morning the trash is brought to you by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Enjoy happy hour specials and visit gotscruples.com for more information. What stories do you have for us this morning, Steve?
Well, interesting stuff. 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo spotted on a date dining with a porn star superstar Kiara Mia at Avra Restaurant in Beverly Hills. Observers say Garoppolo was having the eatery's legendary filet mignon while Mia deep-throated the peppermill.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, she's like the number one porn star in the world. One of Kim Kardashian's new perfumes named Vibes made her 5 $1 million in just 5 minutes after being released online. Kim says it was not all without a lot of work, noting how long it took her to remember the name. So
oh,
there you go.
My God.
And finally, Matt Lauer livid over the fact that he could be paying his estranged wife, Annette Roque, $50 million in their divorce settlement. Said Lauer, quote, none of this would even be happening if she let me have sex with other women after terrorizing them at work.
Yes.
And this is your Hollywood trash.
All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to today's lesson question. Skip Lagged helps you find prices for flights the airlines don't want you to see. What other site does Steve like to use for travel? And I will go to Ralph. Good morning, Ralph.
I like that.
So, Ralph, do me a favor. Tell me what website Steve was talking about.
It's my wife's nickname, Gutter Skank.
Gutter Skank.
Hang on, Ralph. We'll get your information. There's an interesting definition of Gutter Skank on Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
It's too lengthy to get into, to be honest. But, this is a shorter one here, Nick. The other one I have is like a paragraph long, but it says a person, typically a chick, who is as dirty and skanky as one can get, can be hoish, slutty, disgusting, or just plain nasty.
So wow.
That's a gutter skank. And we are going to give him a pair of 3-day go-everywhere passes for Exponential Music Festival presented by Subaru July 27th through the 29th on the Camden Waterfront. That's 3 days, 3 stages, and 30-plus performers featuring an eclectic lineup of artists including David Byrne, The War on Drugs, and many more. Tickets available at xpnfest.org or Ticketmaster, by the way.
The domain name is available, Steve, so if you'd like to purchase...
Gutter Skank is. Maybe yes. I can set up my dream app.
All right, let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
All right, it's brought to you by CF Logistics, LLC. CF Logistics, LLC is expanding its fleet, and they're looking for professional drivers to join their family-owned company. Apply today at CFLogisticsLLC.com. That's CFLogisticsLLC.com. Well, something we were busy today, and we didn't get a chance to acknowledge this, but I cannot get through music news without passing this along. Today marks the one-year anniversary of Chester Bennington's death. It doesn't seem like it, does it?
Unbelievable.
The Linkin Park frontman was found dead in his residence in Palos Verdes near Los Angeles. Although it was reported immediately that he had hanged himself, there were questions about possible drug abuse. It wasn't until the autopsy was revealed in December that we learned definitively that drugs and alcohol were not factors in the cause of death. Earlier this year, his widow, Talinda, who has been a loud advocate in bringing awareness to mental health issues, announced the 320 Changes Direction campaign, created in honor of her late husband to educate about mental illness. This was launched through changedirection.org, which points out 5 signs to be aware of.
What was super tragic amongst, you know, a whole series of tragedies that were happening around that time, we then later saw footage just days earlier of him just having a great time with family and friends.
Yeah. And if you remember, he sang at Chris Cornell's funeral.
He
did a tribute. He sang Hallelujah. And, you know, you would think that being at that event would deter you from doing something.
But the parameters of what causes people to do that, we just can't, you know, we're not in that mind.
And today's Chris's birthday.
It is. It is Chris Cornell's birthday. In October of last year, Linkin Park took to the Hollywood Bowl stage for an emotional 3-hour tribute concert featuring guests such as Blink 182, members of Korn, No Doubt, Avenged Sevenfold, Bush, and several others. Some of the band's biggest hits, including Numb and In the End, were sung entirely by the audience at that event, while a spotlight focused on a solitary mic stand on the stage. Proceeds from that concert were set aside for the Music for Relief's One More Light Fund. And by the way, there are memorials happening all over the world today in memory of Chester Bennington. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is in a new movie starring Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman. It's called Boy Erased. And I haven't seen the trailer yet, but he's in it apparently. Or in the trailer, I'm sorry, he posted. You can see him, yeah, in this, as something of a drill sergeant in charge of a line of young men standing at attention, telling them to, quote, fake it till you make it, become the men you are not. Boy Erased is based on the story of a young man's experience in a gay conversion therapy program where he was sent after his Baptist pastor, father, and his wife discovered that he was gay. The movie comes out in November, so you will see Flea in that role, which is pretty cool. He's a good actor. I've seen a few movies. Yeah,
Flea's in Baby Driver, which is now on, I think, Showtime. If you guys haven't watched it, it's really good.
Is it really good?
Driver, the biography.
Okay.
No, yeah, it is. It is good. It's kinetic. You would like it, Preston. It's a Edgar Wright's a solid director,
and the lead character has tinnitus like me, and it's part of the story.
Great music, great cinematography. It's really cool.
Cool. And then just one more story. That's all I have in music news today. Muse have shared a brand new video for their new single, and frontman Matt Bellamy described the video as having a Teen Wolf feel to it.
Hmm.
Yeah, he said life on the road can bring out your inner beast. The song and video is about taming that beast, desiring a return to something human. Plus, Teen Wolf is cool, he said.
You don't need much of an explanation.
The video director, Lance Drake, this is where they do the wolf dance.
Yeah.
The video director, Lance, added, we follow Matt, Dom, and Chris on the chase of a lifetime, where something as simple as returning some videotapes becomes an epic journey. The track is taken from the band's forthcoming album, due out in November. Listen to this. That's the 1980s in a nutshell, right there, folks. That's it for you. Synth heavy as you can get. All right, music news, that's it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Give that away and see what Pierre's got cooking for today. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Tom Petty on 93.3 WMMR, Last Dance, Mary Jane. Actually, it's Mary Jane's Last Dance. 10:30 and Friday morning, it is Calling Your Name that weekend. Make today the day that you have your outdoor plans, because it's most likely going to be indoor for the rest of, the majority of the weekend. Tomorrow in the daytime should be okay, but by the afternoon, we're going to be expecting some rain, but today, just spectacular. 86 degrees, sunshine, very little humidity.
We had a couple of perfect days beginning Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we need more of those.
Kathy had both those days off, by the way.
Yeah. Coincidence. Sick. No, I'm sure she's sick.
Yeah.
Sick.
Rain tomorrow afternoon, scattered showers Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is what they're calling for as of now. You know what? I meant to mention this earlier this morning. We were talking about that those kids that were their apartment was on fire, and they had to jump out of the the window, and a couple of guys caught them. Well, one of those guys is a listener to the show, and it's his birthday today. So I want to say happy birthday to Kelly Phillips.
That is phenomenal.
Helped save this kid's life, and has his birthday today. So, and he's a big listener to the Preston and Steve Show. So,
Man,
happy birthday, Kelly! And you did a great thing, man. That's a wonderful
saved
couple of days.
Yeah,
yeah.
Save the kids.
So sorry I took so long to mention that. Let me see here. Other things that need to be mentioned before I go through thank yous and the letter of the day and everything that we do at the end of the program. Philly's hottest swimsuit. The voting has been enabled. It is up and running, and we are off to the races. We need you to place a vote and let us know who you think should get the prize. And that is $1,000 cash, over $1,000 in jewelry, and gift cards from Steven Singer Jewelers and a professional photo shoot by Allison Dunlap Photography. Thanks to all the ladies who have entered, and we have a nice crop of girls who are waiting for you to vote for
them.
Have
you looked through? I have not had a chance to look through.
I've not done the entire catalog of all the pictures of each one, but I've looked at the thumbnail shots at the open, and quite happy with the ladies that have submitted. So go ahead, vote. We would love you to do that. Also, your opportunity to win with the very first event event that's taking place to get you qualified to win with the Miller Lite London Calling and Green Legion Press and Steve Live broadcast is going to be taking place. And Marissa Magnata.
Marissa Magnata.
Will be doing the first appearance today.
Going to England. To visit the Eiffel Tower.
What? That's in Paris. So 5 to 7 today, Marissa is going to be at Xfinity Live. And if you win, you will be one of our finalists in the pool of 12 that a 1 in 12 shot at winning once you win today to go to London with us, which is pretty awesome.
Well, it's a refining process. We want to make that the winner work a little bit for it, but it's all, it's benefits all along the way.
And these are going to be good times. Miller Lite's got specials, so you'll have a good time there. And I think there's some prizes. Do you know what you win if you're a finalist yet, or will we find out tonight?
I think it's Eagles home game tickets tonight.
Home game tickets. Get out of here.
I don't know which home game it is, but
it will be at him.
It will be at him.
Okay.
So there's a couple things. You do have to be there at 7 o'clock when we call the winner, so make sure you plan your night accordingly like that. And check the website, because there are a ton of these events, and the dates keep changing, but there's probably one in your neighborhood. Jinjin.
And they keep changing, and I hope to see you there.
I'm just excited to talk about Eagles. They sold out practice, 120,000 tickets in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I'm excited. Dear mother of God.
Nice. Eagles, baby.
All right. So that's tonight with Marissa and let me see. Whoa. We have another. We have a new Daily Rush video, which is up and running. It is MGM Manson Golden Mayor. Perhaps naming your production company after a known serial killer was a bad idea, but you can watch it now on PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. Thank you to God, Charles, for bringing by all the food and all our in-studio guests.
Yes.
I got to eat this morning.
I did have some of that macaroni and cheese.
Right?
Oh, right.
Top three I've ever had.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
With the buffalo turkey chicken.
Yeah. Well, and, good.
And turkey good. Bacon. Mm-hmm. And Nick had the avocados and strawberry bacon salsa. Yeah. In a word?
Yumma num num.
Yumma dum dum.
That was really good.
Maple bacon donuts and all kinds of stuff. And don't forget that you can get all kinds of recipes, hundreds of them, in fact, that you can use with their bacon at godchulz.com. So thank you guys for coming in. Also, thank you to David Koechner, who is here.
Yes.
And Rob Mayer, who we hadn't met before. He was really funny.
Nice guy.
So both those guys are performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. There are shows at 7:30 and 10 p.m., and you can get tickets to those shows at heliumcomedy.com. And that's all the thank yous and plug-a-roonies I think I need to do. We got to do the letter of the day. Casey, mm-hmm. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by the letter
E, as in ethanol.
All right, we'll take caller 8, 215-263-WMMR. You should know the word by now. You should have all five letters in order. 215-263-WMMR. Sorry, Robin. Let's see if you can win the prize. I had mentioned this earlier that this weekend, a lot of good stuff coming up on MMR. It is, of course, continued celebrations of our 50th birthday. And we take a year and we highlight music and pop cultural events from that year. And
it's just a lot of fun to listen to.
And just kind of relive a different weekend every weekend. We're at 2002. This particular weekend, a lot of great things took place. U2 had their Super Bowl halftime performance in the movies. Spider-Man had just come out. It was a big summer movie that year.
Yeah.
The Bourne series got started. There were TV debuts from the Osbournes and American Idol came out that year. And, of course, music that was brand new from bands like Pearl Jam, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Foo Fighters, Bruce Springsteen, Dave Matthews, Queens of the Stone Age, a whole bunch of stuff.
16 freaking years ago.
Yeah. Jeez. I know.
Bruce won a Grammy that year for The Rising.
Really?
That was the record that came out, yeah.
Okay.
I won a Grammy!
That's exactly why I brought that up.
All right. So that'll be starting today or tomorrow. One of those.
Yes. I like yelling Bruce.
Yelling Bruce is just very hyperbolic. But that's what you want from him.
There's contemplative Bruce.
Yeah.
And then there's yelling Bruce.
Even contemplative Bruce yells.
Yeah.
Our weekend, by the way, brought to you by Meineke Car Care Center.
My players!
All right, let's see if we can get a winner. We're looking for the Word of the Week prize winner. And I have Andy on the line. Hi, Andy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Andy, you give me that special word. We give you the prize. What is it?
Sure, it's drive.
Drive.
I love you.
You are correct, Andy. And since you got that right, we have a VIP 4-pack of tickets and pit passes for the Gander Outdoors 400 at Pocono Raceway. And that's July 27th through the 29th. It's a huge NASCAR race weekend for the whole family. Kids 12 and under are free Friday and Saturday. Half price on Sunday. Bring your friends. Bring your family. Just bring it Pocono style. And tickets at PoconoRaceway.com. But you don't have to worry about buying them, Andy, because we got you covered. All right, my man?
that's great. Thank you.
You bet. Hang on just a second. We'll get your information. We'll set you up with all of that good stuff. I have to take this moment to thank the sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. Today's program has been brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Godshall's. Cook out and eat lighter with Godshall's Real Meat, Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. And brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Next week on this program, we will have comedian Jesse May Peluso in the studio. We'll have comedian Bonnie McFarlane in the studio. We will have our comb-over intervention.
It's happening.
Yes, it's taking place next week. And in fact, as is with several events that we do, we have cancellations that take place. So, guys, if you have that issue, now we've already had people that are nominated by other people that want to come in and get that done. But if you yourself are interested and you've never done it yourself and you want to get rid of what you have left up there and go with that bald look, if you have that big male pattern baldness that you've been hanging on to, you may have lost the battle, but you can win the war and take it all off. Get in touch. Email nick@WMMR.com and our friends from Shaving Grace are going to handle it and we'll see before and after how you look.
You know, my feeling is you're going to be very happy with the results.
So we will have that next week. I believe that's on Wednesday, right, Nick?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then we have Ryan Eggold, who is an actor from Blacklist.
Yes.
And he will be in our studio as well. And I'm sure there will be many other things that will pop up between now and then. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a great weekend. And we'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
You f***ers. I'm out here working two waitressing jobs, trying to make a living. I'm 19. I just graduated from high school. I'm trying to get my life started. Learn how to tip sometimes.
Next message.
There's one thing I can take solace in as I sit here in rush hour traffic. I'm looking around, and just about every other dude I see is also picking his nose, and it's awesome.
Next message.
This message is for all the members / losers of the RBFL Fantasy Football League. I have the trophy, but where's my money? It's been 6 months. Pay up, bitches.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.